States has not signed the Kyoto Accords. And so this is going to be a good time for everybody to share your opinions about what's going on with that and what we should be doing about it. So get ready, get your fingers ready to dial that phone and participate. Have a great day, and we look forward to having you back tomorrow. Please stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show coming up next on the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has just concluded speaking at the United Nations.
Peoples and governments are not obliged to obey the injustice of certain powers.
Mostly a thinly veiled attack on the United States, Ahmadinejad declared today his country will no longer pay attention to the UN Security Council resolutions aimed at forcing Iran to get out of the nuclear weapons business. President Bush spoke to the General Assembly today, giving Ahmadinejad only backhanded notice. CBS's Mark Noller is there.
Putting aside diplomatic niceties, President Bush cited eight nations as regimes that subject their people to oppressive rule. His list included Cuba, Belarus, North Korea, Syria, and Iran, whose President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad was in the audience. And Mr. Bush decried what he called the 19-year reign of fear in Myanmar, also known as Burma.
Basic freedoms of speech, assembly, and worship are severely restricted.
Mr. Bush called on the United Nations to join in a mission to liberate peoples everywhere from tyranny, poverty, and disease. Mark Noller, CBS News, with the president in New York.
Meanwhile, outside the United Nations today, Democratic outcry, American style on display.
I ask the American government to isolate Ahmadinejad by real sense.
Demonstrators chanted and they sang, sometimes against war in Iraq, against President Bush, and other languages, a variety of protest points. Airport operations are back to normal in the 250-mile circle around the Air Traffic Control Center in Memphis. It means airliners are taking off and landing again in Little Rock and in Memphis, and the delay ripples are working themselves out across the nation. It's believed to be a major fiber optic cable was accidentally cut, and hats off to the controllers. Some of them kept the airliners moving, shepherding them around the affected area by talking to each other on their cell phones. Accomplice to rape.
Count one, that defendant is guilty beyond...
Guilty, said the jury in Utah in the case of Warren Jeffs, who leads a polygamist sect of Mormons and who arranged the marriage of a 14-year-old girl, CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
Even though there was no evidence that Jeffs himself had sex with a minor, what we know as statutory rape, jurors convicted him of arranging a marriage that allegedly resulted in illegal sex between two teenagers, and under Utah law, that brings the possibility of a very long prison sentence.
The girl, who's now 21, testified for the prosecution. So why hasn't your home sold yet?
Some home sellers are waiting for improvement in the housing market condition. At the same time, the buyers, they are taking their time.
6 months in a row, existing home sales fell a bit. Lawrence Yoon at the National Association of Realtors says they do expect things to be better in the coming year. On Wall Street, the Dow gained 19.5 points. The Nasdaq was up about 15.5. Oil prices, $79.53 a barrel, down $1.42. This is CBS News.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas' newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge. Stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on. You know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call this special toll-free number, 866-40-GO-NOW. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-40-GO-NOW for all the exciting details. That's 866-40-GO-NOW. Call now.
It was 50 years ago in Arkansas, nine black students called the Little Rock Nine walked through the doors of the white school, Central High.
The Little Rock Nine.
That's today. About 4,500 people crowded into the assembly at the school today to mark the anniversary. Each of the nine talked like Ernest Green.
We were nine teenagers. We thought this was the place that would accept us.
that we belong. We saw it as a building that offered opportunity and options for us. And you know what? 50 years later, I think we were right.
Each called for the fight for equality and justice to continue everywhere, all the time. Luke Jakunski had just proposed to Mamie Nagasse, who had just told him a happy, tearful yes in the midst of Central Park in New York, ready to get married, when a gunman jumped out of the bushes with a gun saying, "Give me your money." Their engagement dinner turned out to be potato chips at the police precinct looking through mug shots. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
If you could change the world, what would you do? How would you use your power? What human needs would you remedy? And while you may wonder about your ability to change the world, you certainly can change your world. The people of CITGO demonstrate this every day. For example, we've contributed over $82 million to the Muscular Dystrophy Association. And we give in other ways to our local communities all across this country, which actually does change the world. CITGO, there at every turn.
Ever wonder when buying a used car if you're just buying a used problem? Not if it's a Honda certified used car. They're well-maintained late model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by a 7-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty from the original in-service date, and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. And now get low APR financing on all Odyssey, Pilot, and S2000 certified used Honda models. It may be used, but it's still a Honda. Problem solved.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
And yes, we are here live on the left coast, but as those of you who are regular listeners have already ascertained, I am not Peter B. Collins. Peter has a case of laryngitis. He's not lollygagging, however. He's right here in the studio. I'm Larry Bensky, and I'll be with you for the next 3 hours. We'll be discussing many things. We hope to have your participation, of course, as well here on the Peter B. Collins program. This first hour, we're going to be talking about the situation in Iran, and especially the appearance yesterday of Iran's president on the campus of Columbia University, as well as his appearance right now, in fact. I think he's still speaking at the United Nations in New York. Then we'll be talking about the strange phenomenon and growing phenomenon and dangerous phenomenon of mercenaries in Iraq and beyond, people that you and I are paying to do the dirty work, and it is indeed dirty. After that, in about an hour, we'll be talking about the Lieberman-Kyle Amendment. Bet you never heard of it. Well, if it passes, we're well on our way to having war with Iran as well as war with Iraq. And we'll also be talking to Jason Leopold, a regular feature here on the Peter B. Collins program, of truthout.org, a wonderful site which gets all kinds of articles on the web that wouldn't be printed and aren't printed in what's left of our daily press around the country. And we'll have your phone calls and your emails and your participation as much as possible, of course. I want to give you the toll-free number at any point during this program or the next 3 hours. You want to ask a question, make a comment. It is toll-free from wherever you may be, that is in the United States, 888-573-8372. That's 888-573-8372. And, of course, you can listen online, which you already know if you're listening online, but if ever you should be tempted to do so or tell somebody else about this program, peterbcollins.com. There's a link to the live stream. First, it's an honor and a privilege to welcome Professor Ervand Abrahamian to this program. He's professor of history at Baruch College in the city of New York. Thank you for joining us today, Professor.
Thank you for inviting me.
You are, of course, Iranian, although Armenian-Iranian by birth. Did you happen to attend yesterday's events at Columbia?
No. The tickets were sold out within 10 minutes, so I didn't have a chance. I watched it on video.
I watched it, too, and a lot of our listeners, I'm sure, did as well. And we read the newspaper accounts and saw the pictures in the paper today. I have to tell you, as a college teacher myself, I would have thought I'd died and gone to heaven if I could have gotten 2,000 or 3,000 students out there for or against anything these days. It's really quite extraordinary to get people in the streets.
Well, it was like Madonna on campus.
Well, I won't let the president of Iran know you made that analogy, Professor. Let me get to something that I haven't heard discussed, and perhaps you can help us with this. Did you by any chance hear his remarks in the original in Farsi?
Well, I was the translator was sort of overimposed, but I could get some words. Yeah, I could catch some of what he was saying.
Because in the past, with him and as with other people in this largely language-ignorant country in which we live, it can be many interpretations and many simultaneous interpretations of words that come out. And I'm wondering if, for example, Ahmadinejad actually said that there are no homosexuals in Iran.
I think what he said was, as in the United States. I don't know what it meant by that. It's sort of a vague statement, whether he meant absolutely no homosexuals or homosexuals in the American style. But either way, it was a sort of a silly way to answer that question. Politically, he should have, if he didn't want to answer it, he should have avoided somehow to answer it. That's what politicians are supposed to do.
Yes, indeed. And I'm wondering as well if he said what he is quoted as having said about nuclear weapons, which, of course, is the big bad paintbrush that has been put upon him for months now by those who are anxious, as we'll hear later in this program, to start a military conflict with Iran. I wonder what he actually said about that. Can you elucidate that for us?
He was actually quite categorical. He said it would be stupid and only crazy people would think of wanting to have a nuclear weapon. So he was trying to stress the official position of Iran, that Iran is not interested in a nuclear weapon. He went even further, saying that it was it would be a very stupid idea, which is actually something which I don't believe he himself had said before, but I think many of the more moderate leaders have in the past stressed that it's not in the Iranian national interest actually to have a bomb. People invariably think that bomb is such a great asset that every country would want to have it, but they've been constantly insistent that they're not interested in the bomb because it is not in the national interest. And what he did do very forcefully yesterday is go overboard, basically arguing that it would be not only a bad idea, but it would be a stupid idea. And I think, I mean, if you want, I can sort of spell it out why it wouldn't be a good idea to have it. But it was good to hear him say it.
Well, he also said, didn't he, in the transcript that I read, that who is the United States, I'm paraphrasing here, who is the United States to be lecturing the rest of the world on nuclear weapons when we are in the fifth or sixth generation of multi-billion, probably multi-trillion dollars worth of nuclear weapons development in this country?
Yeah, and that's been the general. But I think that argument, it may be on moral grounds, okay, but it's not a very good political line to take, because once you say that, the implication is if it's all right for other countries to have a bomb, then Iran would be interested in a bomb. But the position is that they're not interested in the bomb because it's not a good idea to have it.
Why has he come back again and again, and what were the nuances yesterday in his Holocaust denial approach? Why do you think this is something that he has come forth with and persists in, no matter how nuanced he now tries to make it? What are the internal politics of Iran, or of the wider Muslim world, for that matter, that countenances Holocaust denial?
I think there are two explanations, separate ones. One is, in Iran as elsewhere, there is a sort of a core of right-wing perceptions that the Holocaust is either didn't happen or it's exaggerated. So every time in Europe some crackpot comes up with the notion that there wasn't a Holocaust, the right-wing press in Iran picks it up. So, for instance, if Penn in France says, well, it's only a footnote, The right-wing press in Iran will pick that up and say, look, here is a major politician in France saying it, so there must be something to it. And Ahmadinejad really belongs to that wing of politics in Iran. This is the sort of newspapers he would read. I don't think is familiar with the historians and what historians know about it. So that's one explanation, that his own thinking is very limited and narrow on this issue. A second, I think, more political reason is it's a way of appealing to the Arab street outside Iran by being more pro-Palestinian than all the Arab countries, even being more pro-Palestinian than the Palestinians themselves, because I think most responsible Arab leaders and Palestinian leaders now accept the Holocaust. But by doing this, he's acting as if, hey, I'm an Iranian, I'm not an Arab, I'm a Shia, I'm not a Sunni, but I'm even more vehement in my advocacy of the Palestinians.
We're talking with Dr. Ervand Abrahamian, who is a professor at Baruch University in New York at the City University of New York Graduate Center. He's written a number of books already, and he has another one that he's preparing called The CIA Coup in Iran. And before we go to a break, Dr. Abrahamian, I wanted you to tell our listeners here on the Peter B. Collins program, what do you think the United States is covertly doing right now, as we speak, in Iran, along the lines of what the United States did back in the 50s when they overthrew the government and started Iran down a very tragic course?
Well, I don't think it's accidental that, you know, in the last year, U.S. has been talking about destabilizing the regime change, and that's also spending, allocating some things like $70 million for regime change. That at the same time, you've had increasing violence, terrorist activities in the periphery areas of Iran, especially in Kurdistan, Balochistan, and the Arab regions in Khuzestan. One can put two and two together that there is CIA and Mossad activities supporting armed dissidents there. And Iranians, of course, view that as terrorist activities and suspect that the Iranians are that the U.S. is really behind that. In addition to that, there is a group in Iranian armed group in Iraq, the Mujahideen, who were before financed by the Saddam Hussein. But since Saddam Hussein fell, they've been taken under the protection of the Pentagon. So the Pentagon is probably supporting and supplying them and sending their men across the border for what they would call guerrilla activities, which the Iranian government would consider terrorist activities.
And, of course, this is no secret to the Iranian government, as you point out, Dr. Abrahamian. Please stay with us. We're going to be right back after a brief break here on the Peter B. Collins program. I'm Larry Bensky, sitting in for Peter B., who will be back tomorrow, hopefully recovered from his laryngitis. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Cornucopia Natural Foods Carmel, Carmel Valley Market, and Staff of Life and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
KRXA is the radio home of Central Coast sports. Join us this fall as KRXA 540 brings you the high school football game of the week. Follow the race for the championship of the Monterey Bay, Tri-County, and Mission Trail High School Athletic League. Hi, this is Rob Ponce. Join John Berlin and me each weekend as we bring you the play-by-play of the high school football game of the week.
The Monterey Toreadors have invited the Santa Cruz Cardinals to come play at MPC this Friday, 7:15 pregame, 7:30 kickoff.
We were looking for an inclusive community, so we joined a Unitarian Universalist church where we can really live our values.
Did you know the American Red Cross, the League of Women Voters, the ACLU, and the SPCA were all founded by Unitarians or Universalists?
Imagine a denomination that walks its talk. When Martin Luther King Jr. appealed to clergy to join protesters at Selma, Alabama, more than one-third of the Unitarian Universalist parish ministers answered his call.
And Unitarian Universalists are still fighting for justice today. We're speaking up everywhere for marriage equality, for reproductive rights, for the environment, and for our civil liberties.
A denomination with progressive values makes a difference in today's world. Unitarian Universalists. Come visit our church on the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website, uucmp.org, or call 624-7404.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Joseph's Upholstery of Monterey will satisfy all of your upholstery needs, whether for your home or business. Joe Vitale finishes headboards, chairs, sofas, and pillows. Joe imports the finest selected fabrics from Italy, Germany, France, and other European countries to add a distinctive touch to your home or office. Joseph's Upholstery is conveniently located at 222 Ramona Avenue in Monterey. They're open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and on Saturday, 9 to 1. Call Joe at 831-372-3224. Remember, at Joseph's Upholstery, there's one low price for all. And free delivery and pickup is available throughout Monterey and Santa Cruz counties. Call Joe Vitale now at Joseph's Upholstery, 372-3224.
We're back here live on the Peter B. Collins program. I'm Larry Bensky, sitting in for Peter B. today. Once again, our toll-free telephone number, if you have questions or comments about any of the topics we'll be discussing for the next 2.5 hours or so, our toll-free number is 888-573-8372. That's 888-573-8372. We are joined by the City University of New York Distinguished Professor Ervand Abrahamian. Thank you very much again, Dr. Abrahamian, for being with us. Later, we're going to be talking in this program about the Lieberman-Kyle Amendment, which I said in opening before, something that probably 99% of the people listening to this program and indeed in this country have never heard of. But it came up on the floor of the Senate today. It would, in fact, be a backdoor declaration of war against Iran. Does this come as a surprise to you that this has gotten this far in the United States Senate?
I'm not surprised because actually something similar happened last month when a Senate could have put in a clause in the resolution that the president would have to go back to Congress to get an okay for airstrikes on Iran. And Congress actually decided not to put it in. And I think to anyone looking at it, this is a clear green light for the White House that they can do what they want with Iran without really problems with from Congress. Of course, the catch-22 is that if the president gets in U.S. involved in a bigger war, it's the president who's have to get the blame for it, and Congress obviously would not get the blame for it. But it, I think they're playing really dangerous politics because Congress isn't really willing to stop the president doing anything erratic like that.
Well, President Bush certainly hasn't indicated any tendency to care whether he gets a blame for anything, including the disaster in Iraq. But let me quote from what Senator Jim Webb, the Democrat from Virginia, who's emerged as a leader of the anti-militarist forces in Washington, said today. He said, I'm quoting, "Those who regret their vote 5 years ago to authorize military action in Iraq should think hard before supporting this approach, because in my view it has the same potential to do harm where many are seeking to do good." And he pointed out that Congress hasn't had a single hearing about this Lieberman-Kyle amendment, which he calls a backdoor declaration of war. So clearly something's going on there. Dick Cheney and his forces, who've wanted for years to strike against Iran, may be preparing the way to do that, as many people, including Daniel Ellsberg and Scott Ritter and others, have been saying for years is going to happen. What is your understanding of how the people of Iran would react to any kind of attack? And it would be an aerial attack. Obviously, the United States doesn't have the troops anymore to do much groundwork around the world, special forces excepted. What do you think would happen inside Iran politically if there was an attack by United States or Israeli forces?
I think the population would very much rally around the government, even people who don't like the present president or even the present leadership. I mean, it would be quite natural that once your country is being invaded or attacked, you rally around the flag. In a situation like that, you're not going to start picking fights with the politicians in charge. I think the claim in Washington is if there were airstrikes, that somehow the people of Iran would rise up and overthrow the regime is just pie in the sky. The exact opposite would happen. And I think most reformers would really practice self-censorship. They would not criticize the administration in Iran. They would rally behind the administration. And the regime would actually end up being much stronger politically. And, of course, what the regime would do outside would be to hit United States where Iran is strongest and the United States is weakest, which is in Iraq and Afghanistan. So airstrikes would really be an opening for a 30-year war, I think, throughout the region. And people like Brzezinski have been warning that it wouldn't be just one-shot airstrikes. We really would be entering he calls it a 30-year war. I would even call it a 100-year war, where it would be open-ended, that is the only way U.S. would be able to hold its own in Afghanistan and Iraq is really to bring back the draft and send a military force of some 2 million men to be able to control that situation. As it is in both those countries, we're losing control, and so far Iran has been actually using its influence to restrain the anti-American forces in those countries. All they would have to do is give their own green light to the people who are itching to take on the U.S., and you would have a Shia uprising in Iraq and in Afghanistan. The warlords who have so far supported the Karzai government, because the Iranian government has asked them to support the Karzai government, they would then take the opportunity to pull the rug from the Karzai government. That would collapse, and then we would be faced with a major disaster in Afghanistan as well as in Iraq.
Well, some people think we already have one. Dr. Abrahamian, I want to thank you very much for joining us today on the Peter B. Collins Show for your extremely insightful and valuable thoughts. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by great-tasting Smart Balance Omega Peanut Butter and by Office Depot. Trust Office Depot for everything your business needs. Office Depot, taking care of business. I'm Charles Osgood. 80 world leaders from countries large and small, rich and poor, were among those attending the one-day UN Climate Summit yesterday, and were told in no uncertain terms that for all the talk and bickering, when all is said and done, there's been too much said about addressing climate change and not enough done.
The rich nations and the poor nations have different responsibilities, but one responsibility we all have, and that is action. Action, action, action.
More from California's Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger after this. You know, Smart Balance Omega peanut butter really is one of a kind. It's a natural peanut butter that doesn't need refrigeration to prevent significant separation. It contains no refined sugar and no hydrogenated oil, but it does contain 1,000 milligrams of omega-3s per serving. Now, Smart Balance means more than delicious buttery taste. It also means delicious peanutty taste, too. Smart Balance Omega peanut butter. You know, Office Depot rewards you for shopping. Sign up now for new Office Depot Work-Life Rewards program. It's bigger, better, and more rewarding than ever. Now you get 10% back on ink, toner, paper, design, print, and ship purchases, plus 1% back on nearly everything else you buy, free. And there's no limit to the amount of rewards you can earn. Office Depot, taking care of business. Rewards are given as Office Depot Reward Card when you earn a minimum of $10 in rewards. Certain restrictions apply. Excludes HP ink and toner. Go to myworkliferewards.com for details. President Bush is hosting a conference on climate later this week in Washington to talk about it some more. But at yesterday's UN summit, it was the governor of California who got everybody's attention.
California is moving the United States beyond debate and doubt to action.
Schwarzenegger is not blaming anybody in particular. It's too late for that, he says.
The consequences of global climate change are so pressing that it doesn't matter who was responsible of the past. What matters is who is answerable for the future.
It's not a question of one nation against another, he says.
The current stalemate between the developed and the developing worlds must be broken. It is time to come together in a new international agreement that can be embraced by rich and poor nations alike.
Unlike some of the environmental hand-wringers, Schwarzenegger is optimistic.
Do not lose hope. I do not believe that doom and gloom and disaster are the only outcomes. Humanity is smart. And nature is amazingly regenerative.
But we've got to get going, he says.
I believe that we can renew the climate of this planet. I believe this 100%. So I pledge to you, the members of the United Nations, that we in California will work with all our heart to this end for which we all long.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow, hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests, and you call in with your questions and ideas, and we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future, and we're doing it five times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters, weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Well, I'm a part of Peter B.'s America. Hope you are, too. My name is Larry Densky. I'm sitting in today for Peter B. Collins here on the Peter B. Collins program. Peter's out with a little bit of laryngitis, and he'll be back, we hope, tomorrow. We're glad you're with us today, however. on this very, very beautiful day here in the San Francisco Bay Area. And we hope it's as beautiful wherever you may be. And speaking of wherever you may be, you can send us an email during this program at any time if you have thoughts or questions or comments or just want to say hello. Our email address is peter@peterbcollins.com. Shouldn't be too hard to type that in, peter@peterbcollins.com. And our toll-free phone number is 888-573-8372 from any place in the U.S. of A. 888-573-8372, whatever may be on your mind, whether it has to do with the current war circumstance, the invasion and occupation of Iraq, whether it has to do with the potential upcoming expansion into Iran that we just discussed and we'll be talking about more the next hour when we discuss the Lieberman-Kyle Amendment, which is before the United States Senate today, or anything else of that ilk that you may want to question or remark about. No matter where you're coming from, you will be greeted respectfully here. I didn't think that Ahmadinejad was treated very respectfully yesterday at Colombia. I'm not talking about the audience, but by the president of Colombia, but we'll get back to that. Right now, we're going to talk with Nick Bichanich, who is co-director of a documentary that came out a while back called Shadow Company, Soldiers, Mercenaries, Private Contractors, Who's Fighting in Today's Conflicts. Thank you very much for joining us today, Nick.
Not yet.
Nick's not there yet. Okay, we're still working on it. I got the thumbs up, but it's actually not quite up yet, that thumb. So I'll go back to my thought about President Ahmadinejad and his reception at Colombia. I've seen today some fallout and heard today some fallout that there will be those now in the United States political establishment who want to start denying federal funds to Columbia University, excuse me for laughing, an eminent educational institution like Columbia. I mean, what did they do wrong? They invited somebody who ruffles people's feathers seriously and who says some occasionally stupid and incorrect things. If we banned everybody who ruffled people's feathers and occasionally said some stupid or incorrect things, where indeed would we be? Well, we're getting there faster and faster. Just looking at an article in the Columbia Journalism Review the other day that said that 91% of the people who do what I'm doing right now, 91% of the talk radio show hosts in the United States are right-wingers and conservatives. 91%. When you get a guy like Peter B. Collins, you should stroke him and reward him vastly because we're in a tiny minority, folks, a tiny minority. Nick Bichanich, are you there? Hi, Nick.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you for joining us today, Nick.
Oh, no, I appreciate you having me on the show. It's funny that you're talking about 91% being right-wingers because I guess I spend a lot of time talking to the other 9% then.
You probably do. But I wish you'd spend a lot more time with the 91% because, of course, they monopolize the market and the attention of people. Nick, a lot of people who pay attention to such things are aware of the controversy now around Blackwater and the allegations that they blew away without anything like justifiable cause. A family of Iraqis traveling in a car in Baghdad. This is one of the private security firms. I've seen figures of up to 30,000 maybe armed in the various parts of Iraq right now, private security firms, also known as mercenaries. They're part of a core of support personnel. It's over 160,000 in Iraq right now. And we don't hear as much about this by far as we do about the numbers of United States military that are present. You think that's going to change a little bit now with the flap about Blackwater?
You know, it's certainly bringing attention to the subject. I mean, unfortunately, it's a subject that takes place very much in the shadows, which is a fairly obvious pun to the title of my film, Shadow Company. It's a world that many people don't know anything about, and I would sadly imagine that one of the reasons many people don't know anything about it because the people in power might not want them to know that much about it.
Well, of course they don't.
Yeah, exactly.
Why would they?
the rules of war have changed so significantly that the U.S. military actually can't go to war without private contractors. They're such a critical part of the conflict, not just in Iraq, but in other places around the world, that, you know, the people who cook the food, the people who carry, who move the garbage, the people who drive people from point A to point B. A lot of these guys are private contractors. Now, it's been a slow slide as far as outsourcing is concerned. When they started outsourcing things like cooking of food, no one really cared, because you sort of, you can imagine, you're sitting there debating this at some various policy or committee or whoever's discussing it. You go, okay, so we've got this company that wants to do it, and they'll be a little bit cheaper and they'll be a little bit faster, but the food's going to be just as good. Yeah, fine, let them do it. No one really cares, because it's sort of a soft task. But in Iraq, what you're seeing play out is the ultimate end result of this increased privatization, because the actual trigger pullers are the guys who end up being civilians.
Well, let's get right down to these trigger pullers, as you call them. How much do they get paid on the average? Because obviously, if you're a mercenary and you're working for money, I would imagine that very few, if any, of these people are idealists. They're there to make a buck or a euro.
Well, you know, I'll answer your question, but let me just preface that briefly with describing what the word mercenary usually means. You see, a lot of the people that we spoke to, because when we researched the documentary, we spent about 2 years traveling to Sierra Leone, Iraq, South Africa, and obviously a lot of trips to the U.S. and U.K. and Canada. And we met all kinds of individuals. We met some individuals that were completely motivated just by cash. We met some individuals that were complete cowboys and really shouldn't have been there in the first place. But we also met a huge amount of highly professional people that simply had no real other option. When you've spent 20 years working in, for the sake of argument, the Navy SEALs or United States Special Forces, corporate America doesn't want you. Your skill set is only really usable in one arena. So I remember distinctly talking to one guy who said that he tried to get a normal job, and he had bills to pay and kids to put through college, and along came Iraq, and he was getting offered $1,000 a day in the early days of working in Iraq tax-free. So his justification was, yeah, sure, it's for the money, but I also have a life to lead. I have a family to support. I don't know what else to do.
Well, a lot of these guys, though, I saw a story the other day that said that the United States Special Forces, who are the kind of guys who are going across the border and doing who knows what in Iran right now without any media coverage, that the United States Special Forces, when a person's time in the Special Forces is up, they're being offered, in some cases, $150,000 bonus of our taxpayers' money to stay in so they won't jump to the private contractors.
You're completely right. That's actually that's a novelty, and that's something that's been happening more and more over the last 3 years. It happened with not just the U.S. Special Forces, but also the British Special Forces, the SAS, the Special Air Service. For the first time ever in its history, the numbers start to decrease, and they have to go on a recruitment drive and offer retention bonuses because so many people were jumping into the private sector, chasing the money. And in some instances, what the Brits did was, I suppose, revolutionary, because it had never been done before. The Brits actually allowed some of their special forces trained people to take a year off to work in the private sector and then come back in. And the reason they did that is because they didn't want people just to leave en masse. So much money had been invested in training these individuals. They didn't just want them all to leave and go and essentially have a giant brain drain into the private sector.
Well, now, it's a situation we have now in Iraq where it is so dangerous and so lawless, by all accounts that I trust, that I read and hear and see, that various people, including United States diplomats, of course, but others, don't dare go out in the streets just about anywhere outside the green zone without some sort of security with them. And so it's...
And unfortunately, you're completely right, and unfortunately that's quite valid. I mean, Iraq is incredibly dangerous. There are many other places around the world that are also extremely dangerous and unstable, that where people, anybody who's white and anybody who's usually a foreigner in those environments is a legitimate target, whether for kidnapping or extortion or in some cases something gruesome. The fact is that there is a requirement for a security force to protect those individuals. Now, leaving aside the question of should those individuals be there in the first place, that's a totally separate debate. But once you assume that you are operating in a conflict and you are attempting to execute some form of foreign policy, which is why U.S. diplomats in this case in Iraq are there, you have a serious problem, because you require there to be security in order for even Department of State, the Blackwater Convoy September 16th, for U.S. officials to be able to move around, they need security. So who's going to provide
Well, but you're talking about security. I mean, let's not make this into a meaningless generalization. I don't know if you've seen the film In the Valley of Elah, E-L-A-H. Have you seen that?
I haven't seen it yet. I know what it's about, but I haven't had a chance to see it.
Well,
yet.
I would advise you and everybody else listening to this program to go to see it, because it's a very moving and well-done film. And one of the things that it shows, it's a drama, of course, it's a fictional film, but one of the things that it shows is that for an overwhelming percentage of the people in the United States military, and I'm sure for the mercenaries as well, they really don't have any criterion to judge who the enemy is. They call them the Hajis. They're all around the place. They, you know, they could be kids, they could be women, they could be old, they could be young, they could be traveling in a car, they could be on a rooftop. And so everybody becomes suspect, and if you have a free trigger finger, what do you do with it? You tend to blow them away.
You're right that it's, unfortunately, warfare was never pretty, but modern warfare has become even more complicated, whichever side you're on, because in this sort of counterinsurgency environment, you cannot tell who the attackers are. If the attackers are suicide bombers that use unmarked vehicles, they don't have a big sign painted on their forehead that says they're a target. They look like any other civilian. So you can imagine that the environment that soldiers or security contractors, these modern-day mercenaries, find themselves in, they could easily become paranoid because every single individual is a potential target. It is worth pointing out, though, that I asked the question early on when I was making the film as to how comfortable people felt these environments, and I was told in no uncertain terms that the likelihood of somebody who's a security contractor doing something untoward and stupid is far smaller than the likelihood of an inexperienced 19-year-old soldier, simply because most of the security contractors have seen combat 10, 20 times over.
Well, why don't we just privatize the whole thing then, pull out the United States troops and hire other people who know what they're doing?
Well, you know, that's an entirely different discussion, because one of the big problems is that the monopoly on the use of force is supposed to be one of the defining criteria of a nation. If you start privatizing instruments of your foreign policy, that starts to devalue what your nation actually stands for.
Well, one of the criteria of your nation is also supposed to be that when the people in your country are disgusted with and fed up with a policy, that it changes. And in this country, that doesn't seem to be the case right now. Nick Bichanich, let me ask you how our listeners can get a hold of this documentary, because I think a lot of people want to, and a lot of people certainly need to know a lot more about the phenomenon we're discussing. It's called Shadow Company. How do people get a hold of it if it isn't playing at their local movie theater?
If they're lucky enough to be living in Chicago, we're opening in Chicago. I don't know if that's considered lucky, but let's call it lucky for the moment. It's opening in Chicago on October the 5th. It played in New York and L.A. and San Francisco recently. We're rolling up to a few more cities after that. But you can also get it on DVD with lots of extra features, including when we screened on Capitol Hill, Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky was involved in the Q&A, and all of that Q&A has been captured on film. It's on the DVD. ShadowCompany.com is where you go for the trailer and for clips and to buy the DVD itself.
ShadowCompany.com. Nick Bichanich, stay with us. We're going to be right back after a brief break. Here on the Peter B. Collins program, I'm Larry Bensky, sitting in for him today.
Wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, hear from the president of National Real Estate Holdings, Jim Ross, as he talks more about his exciting real estate investment opportunity in the great state of Wyoming. Also, we'll have an update on the mortgage rates from one of our experts. That's this Sunday on your number one source for all your real estate needs, Rock Roller Real Estate. For more information, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie. I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool black skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave. A shrinking glacier. I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Peter B. Collins program. I'm Larry Binsky sitting in for Peter today. Next hour, we're going to be talking about the Lieberman-Kyle Amendment. You don't know what it is? You need to know, and we'll talk about it. It has to do with the situation in the part of the world that we're discussing this hour right now with Nick Bichanich, who is co-director of Shadow Company, a documentary about mercenaries in Iraq. Nick Bichanich, the latest incident with Blackwater caused something that I was surprised by, to tell you the truth. The president of Iraq, the prime minister, rather, Nouri al-Maliki, came right out and said, we need to get rid of Blackwater. These people are out of control, basically killers in our streets. There's been too many of these incidents, and we can't have this anymore. Mr. al-Maliki is not the type of guy who stands up very often in this way. Do you think we saw any kind of, bright line being drawn here where the people who are doing this contract, so-called security work, are now going to be under greater scrutiny?
Well, as you said when you were introducing the subject at the beginning, I certainly believe this is going to shine a light onto the industry yet again, so more and more people will become aware that it even exists. I mean, the problem we're operating under here is that a lot of people aren't even, not just that they're not aware of how big a phenomenon, the fact that it's a $100 billion industry, this privatization of war, but they're not even aware of it at all. They don't know what these people do, they don't know who they are, and they don't know why they do it. These are some of the key questions that we try to address. With regards to the Blackwater incident, there's some interesting stuff that took place there that the media didn't really seem to follow. For example, this took place on September 16th. There was a Department of State convoy, and an interaction happened. It's not entirely clear what took place. There's diametrically opposed accounts where the Department of State and Blackwater are claiming that 8 individuals were killed and all of them were legitimate targets, whereas the Iraqi government is stating that there was, I think it was 23 or 24, I can't remember what the exact number was. They did not fire first, but they were innocent civilians. And on top of that, they're saying that they have video footage to back this up. And now, of course, the U.S. government and the Iraqi government have a joint commission to investigate exactly what took place. The thing that's ironic about all this that people might not realize is that even if when the Iraqi government threatened to kick Blackwater out, it's that you're referring to, they don't have the legal authority to do that because...
I thought it was their country. I thought we're building democracy. What do you mean? They don't have the legal authority to throw somebody out?
They don't. It's quite bizarre, but in the early days of the Coalition Provisional Authority, there was a number of different orders that were put into place because the Coalition Provisional Authority was effective with the Iraqi government when there was none. That was when Ambassador Paul Bremer was in charge. Coalition Provisional Authority Order 17 indicated that security contractors working in Iraq cannot be prosecuted under local Iraqi laws for any crime. That did not
for any crime, not even murder. Crime. Not even murder.
For any crime. It doesn't matter what it is, for any crime. Now, that does not mean that they cannot be prosecuted anywhere in the world, because at the end of the day, you still have international human rights law, you still have all...
So what are you going to do, hope that they're all going to be caught in Belgium? I mean, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, no, you're right. This created a very, very strange environment, which a lot of people refer to as a lawless environment. Now, although it wasn't technically lawless on paper, the fact is that the Iraqi courts themselves had no power over the security contractors.
Well, let me get to another element of these contractors, because I think it's really important when you call them contractors. These are contracts that somebody signs with somebody. Money is given, and a service is supposedly delivered.
Right.
If the system of government in the United States were functional, which, of course, it isn't on so many levels, these contracts would be monitored. The people who appropriate this money, i.e. the United States Congress, would be involved in hearings and appropriations bills, etc. To my knowledge, none of that happens. How does it get to be? Does it just get a great big pot of money?
I wish I had an answer for that question. The answer is, I don't know. I mean, I'm astounded. On Friday, I was flown to Washington, D.C. to testify in front of the Senate Democratic Policy Committee. Senator Byron Dorgan chairs this committee, and it was a very sort of ad hoc put-together hearing about oversight and accountability, exactly what you were asking about, oversight and accountability with security contractors with a specific focus on Blackwater. I was astounded, not just that I was being called, although I took it as an honor, I was still surprised, but that the kind of information that's available to the members of the Senate, they're coming to filmmakers like me and a journalist who was also one of the witnesses for information.
Could be going to the CIA, they could be going to the DIA,
be the other way around. You know, we should be asking them for information. They shouldn't be, I mean, I got asked by a senator, I can't remember exactly what her name was, you know, what are the rules of engagement for security contractors in Iraq? I mean, yes, I happen to be able to answer the question, but I should be the one asking that question, not the other way around.
Well, that's a tragedy and a shame, but, you know, if people in Washington on Capitol Hill have to have an ad hoc, informal meeting with the members of only one party there, rather than a formal hearing into the conditions and the contracts and the appropriations.
I do believe that because irrespective of whether or exactly what took place on tragically on that day on September 16th, irrespective of who was right, who fired first, it doesn't really matter. The fact is that the damage was irrevocably done. Blackwater security contractors effectively acted as ambassadors of the U.S. government and the nation. They are viewed as such. They are not viewed as private contractors by the Iraqi people.
Yeah, but when you talk about damage being irrevocably done, what about the damage when Abu Ghraib came out? Has that stopped the United States and Iraqi forces from building prisons and incarceration facilities with four times more capacity now than they had at that point, and of throwing those people in there, some of them to rot forever with absolutely no chance of getting legal representation? I mean, it's nice for us who work in the media to think, okay, Blackwater is out now, and it's going to be something, and Abu Ghraib came out now, and that's going to change something. But all too often, it doesn't.
I know, and I have to say that, you know, the rendition in prisons and torture and interrogation is not the subject that I've intensively researched, although obviously, as anyone who's paying attention, I'm aware of what's going on. And it is a tragedy that those subjects are not investigated more, and that they're not, and there's not more transparency and oversight in that as well. I will say one thing though, which is something that many people in the media seem to have glossed over in their rush to try and get Blackwater out of Iraq. The overwhelming majority of people who work for Blackwater, who are working as security contractors, are exactly that. They're contractors. It doesn't matter one iota if Blackwater is kicked out of Iraq, because guess what? Those people just resign and go and work for another company. Big deal. So Blackwater goes. There's 50 other companies to fill in.
Hello, DynCorp. Right. Nick Bichanich, I want to thank you very much for being with us today on the Peter B. Collins program once again. ShadowCompany.com is where you can go to order a DVD of his film. Hopefully it will play more widely in theaters, and if we grow to be 190 years old, each of us, it'll get on public television where it belongs in the United States. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me.
All right. This is the Peter B. Collins program. I'm Larry Bensky sitting in for Peter, who hopefully will be back tomorrow after having overcome his laryngitis. Our producer is Katrina Rill. We're also helped by Brian Urban. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Home sales down for the sixth month in a row, and it could get worse.
Alan Greenspan predicts home prices will fall a lot more. I'm Dan Rabin.
Iran's president tells the UN the nuclear issue is closed.
All our nuclear activities have been completely peaceful and transparent.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney.
A lot of people are going to see, if this continues, their home equity wiped out.
Economist Robert Shiller on today's report from the National Association of Realtors that sales of existing homes fell more than 4% in August, continuing a trend that started in March. The median price edged up slightly last month, but the general trend is downward, and one economic oracle expects the trend to accelerate.
I'm Dan Revive. The former head of the Federal Reserve, Alan Greenspan, predicts a significant further decline in home prices, mainly because
home builders were not able to cut back sufficiently quickly when demand fell off.
So there are new houses unsold. They have to be kept in good repair. Their sale price will plummet, affecting almost all houses and condos. In a radio interview with CBS News, Greenspan also says interest rates in the years ahead will likely be a few points higher. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
General Motors and the United Auto Workers continue negotiations as union members walk picket lines for a second day. These strikers in Warren, Michigan, say they're taking a stand.
After 37 years in over here at this place, a lot of promises from GM. Looks like they're breaking all of them.
All we do is give, give, give. And I mean, you know, I got a daughter calling home saying she's sick now, and now I don't have no health coverage. I mean, you know, there's got to be some kind of sharing here.
In the short run, analysts say the strike benefits GM because it has a 65-day supply of vehicles to sell. Now this.
When you were a kid, wishing upon a star was a cute idea. But unless I'm completely in the dark here, you're not a kid anymore. Though you still got dreams, don't you? You got a plan to get them up and running, or are you just keeping your fingers crossed? Maybe it's time for a wake-up call.
Dream Plan Track from Ameriprise Financial. Financial planning redefined. Visit us at Ameriprise.com/dream.
Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Taking care of business, Office Depot.
Do you know that Office Depot rewards you for shopping? Sign up now for the new Office Depot Work-Life Rewards Program. It's bigger, better, and more rewarding than ever. Now you get 10% back on ink, toner, paper, design, print, and ship purchases. Plus, 1% back on nearly everything else you buy. It's free, and there's no limit to the amount of rewards you can earn. Rewards are given as an Office Depot reward card when you earn a minimum of $10 in rewards. Certain restrictions apply. Excludes HP ink and toner. Go to myworkliferewards.com for details.
Demonstrators of all stripes converged on the UN today, making their voices heard as world leaders took their turns at the General Assembly podium. Iranian President Ahmadinejad vowed his country will ignore Security Council resolutions to curb its nuclear program.
And I officially announce that in our opinion, the nuclear issue of Iran is now closed and has turned into an ordinary agency matter.
He said the International Atomic Energy Agency is the appropriate legal path for monitoring Iran's activities. President Bush spoke earlier. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller has that.
While calling the UN a vital institution, President Bush said it needs to do much more to liberate the victims of oppressive regimes around the world.
Every member of the United Nations must join in this mission of liberation.
In his annual address to the General Assembly, Mr. Bush cited 8 offending nations by name, including Iran, Syria, Cuba, and especially Myanmar, formerly Burma, denouncing its military regime for imposing a 19-year reign of fear, and he announced new U.S. sanctions against its leaders. Mark Noller, CBS News, with the president in New York.
Polygamist leader Warren Jeffs could go to prison for life.
Count one, that the defendant is guilty beyond a reasonable doubt.
A jury in St. George, Utah has convicted Jeffs of being an accomplice to rape by forcing a 14-year-old girl into marriage with her 19-year-old cousin. The victim, now 21, spoke outside the courthouse.
This trial has not been about religion or a vendetta. It is simply about child abuse and preventing further abuse.
The defense claimed the 51-year-old Jeffs was the victim of religious persecution. We have a new tropical storm. Karen is about 1,400 miles east of the Windward Islands of the Caribbean, and a new tropical depression has formed in the southwestern Gulf of Mexico. Leaders of the U.S. Episcopal Church, trying to avoid a break with the Worldwide Anglican Fellowship, issued a statement at their meeting in New Orleans pledging to exercise restraint in consecrating another gay bishop. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and 2 nights in Las Vegas? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right, act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest 5-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge, stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on. You know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call the special toll-free number, 866-40-GO-NOW. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-40-GO-NOW for all the exciting details. That's 866-40-GO-NOW. Call now.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Well, I'm one of those voices you don't hear in the corporate media, although once long ago I had some jobs therein. My name is Larry Bensky, and I'm sitting in today for Peter B. Collins, who's down with a slight case of laryngitis. We hope he's going to be back with us tomorrow here on the Peter B. Collins program. The Lieberman-Kyle Amendment. Say you've never heard of it? Well, you've got a lot of company, of course. So most people haven't heard of it or hadn't before today when it's been buzzing around the Internet like crazy. The Lieberman-Kyle Amendment would, according to some people, including Senator Jim Webb, who gave a speech about it in Washington on the floor of the Senate this morning, be a de facto declaration of war against Iran. Just what we needed, right? A little more military action and tens of thousands of more people dead and wounded and missing, this time in Iran. How did this get to be? Where is it? What's going to happen to it? And what does it mean for the future of the United States and the Bush administration's seemingly endless involvement in things that they can't handle and shouldn't be in the first place? Kara Ong joins us here on the PDB Collins program. She's a policy analyst for the Center for Arms Control and Nonproliferation. Thank you for joining us, Kara Ong.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
Kara, this would certainly not be a case of arms control and non-proliferation if the Lieberman-Kyle amendment got passed by the Senate.
No, it's not. I started working on Iran for the center over a year and a half ago or so, and quickly realized getting into this that, you know, the Iran issue is so much more than just its nuclear program. And if we're going to resolve the nuclear program, we have to look at a wide range of issues. So I actually, in the case of Iran, look at a number of things. In some ways, it actually is tied to, it is tied to proliferation in other ways, too, because, you know, of course, you know, folks are trying to claim that that Iran is trying to pursue a nuclear weapons program. But with Kyle Lieberman, of course, you know, this is basically a measure that is a very provocative measure that's really only going to undermine efforts to resolve tensions with Iran through diplomacy on the first hand.
Let me just quote from it here, Kara, for a moment so the listeners know what we're talking about.
Sure.
Here's some of the language from the amendment. Article 3 says, "It should be the policy of the United States to combat, contain, and roll back the violent activities and destabilizing influence inside Iraq of the government of the Islamic Republic of Iran, its foreign facilitators such as Lebanese Hezbollah, and its indigenous Iraqi proxies." Now, the action words there are combat, contain, and roll back. If this is passed by the Senate and the House and signed by President Bush, it becomes the de facto policy of the United States government to combat, contain, and roll back. Combat is a kind of a loaded word. It basically means fight.
Well, Larry, just a quick correction. They actually revised the amendment today because there were some concerns expressed yesterday about the amendment when Lieberman and Kyle were on the floor, you know, making arguments in favor of it. So actually the new language today says, and which people still have a problem with, Senator Durbin was just on the floor a little bit ago saying that he has a problem with it and he's the majority whip, but the new language says, quote, that it should be the policy of the United States to stop inside Iraq the violent activities and destabilizing influence of the government of the Islamic Republic of Iran, its foreign facilitators such as Lebanese Hezbollah, and its indigenous Iraqi proxies. So it did change that contain and roll back language a little bit. You know, it softened it a bit. But really, quite honestly, the language is still not better because it leaves this huge loophole. And it is still very unclear whether or not, I mean, it does leave open the use of all instruments, including military force. And it's not clear whether, you know, a conflict would spill over into Iranian territory.
Those of us who are old enough to remember it, Kara, will immediately start thinking about Cambodia and Vietnam, because this is exactly an analogous situation where, at that point, the United States government made the claim that everything would be fine in Vietnam if it wasn't for those nasty people hiding in Cambodia. Therefore, we've got to invade Cambodia and destroy Cambodia and stop them from doing what they are doing, allegedly, inside Vietnam. And as a result, Cambodia was turned into a historical horror show.
You're absolutely right. I mean, this has this sense of, you know, it's part of this long line of blank checks that have been provided to administrations in the past. It's sort of like the Gulf of Tonkin resolution and even the authorization to use force in Iraq, and that's why we are so concerned about it. It has a huge loophole, and what we've been saying is, you know, this loophole is big enough to drive an aircraft carrier or a fleet of planes through it.
Well, those of us who've worked parts of our lives, as I have in Washington, wonder about something that was mentioned by Senator Webb today. It's that this amendment is now being debated and perhaps will be voted on very soon. You can tell us what the prognosis is for that. In the Senate, there hasn't been one single hearing held in the Foreign Relations Committee, in any committee of the Senate or the House about this.
No, there hasn't. I mean, the other part of it is if you look at the first part of the resolution, it gives a long line of number of different quotes from General Petraeus and Ambassador Crocker, and including quotes in which they, you know, especially General Petraeus contradicted himself on later. I mean, there haven't been hearings. They're basing this on testimony and in cases, quotes where the person being quoted contradicted himself later.
Well, didn't Senator Lieberman basically ask General Petraeus when he was on the Hill the other week, do you want something like this? Do you need something like this, an enabling resolution from us? And Petraeus didn't jump for the bait?
That's my understanding of what happened in that testimony as well during that hearing.
So where is this coming from? Is this just another figment of the out of control militarist imagination that is so pervasive on Capitol Hill?
No, I would say it's coming from a different sort of lobby, quite honestly.
Well, who is it? Is it Dick Cheney? Is it AIPAC? Is what's going on here?
Yeah, I mean, it's coming from those who are really trying to jump on this. It's, you know, comes from the Cheney line. Certainly, it's the bill was perhaps had some influence from AIPAC. You know, I haven't talked to AIPAC, so I don't know for sure. I don't want to say that they have with certainty. But it's my understanding that yes, they did.
So is this going to pass?
Well, I don't know. Right now, there is enough reservation about it that they're wanting to significantly modify it. It's also being, you know, there's been objections to the Biden amendment on Iraq, and now somehow those two resolutions are being linked. Senator Reid just said that there aren't going to be any votes this evening. And then they're trying to work out some of these objections on the sideline. So, you know, it's definitely not going to come up for a vote tonight. You know, your guess is as good as mine. I mean, it could happen early tomorrow morning when they resume business. It could happen up to next week. The defense authorization is a yo-yo on the floor right now. So,
But the bottom line, isn't it, Kara Ong, that if Senator Reid wanted to, he could twist this into a pretzel and throw it in the oven in the back and turn off the gas, and it would never bake. If that isn't too complicated a metaphor for a radio audience. Or somebody could have the guts to put a hold on it, or somebody could stand up and start to filibuster. You know, it can be stopped if the will to stop it is there. And I think a lot of things that's frustrating many of us out here in the real world, so-called, is that the Democratic Party is really not going to the mat about any of this stuff and saying, stop, enough. And they can do it if they want to.
You know, Larry, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, this morning was absolutely insane. On the House side, they put H.R. 1400, which is it's a sanctions measure. It will impose stronger unilateral sanctions on Iran. You know, again, it's something that would ratchet up tensions with Iran. They put it on the suspension calendar in the House, so you can't have any amendments on it. Not one single member of Congress stood up to speak against it. A number of members got up and gave the usual lines. They talked about Ahmadinejad's speech yesterday at Columbia and, you know, talked about Ahmadinejad, which, you know, is really quite honestly beside the point. I mean, Ahmadinejad's talk was unfortunate, but this is not, you know, this is not the point of what we're doing. You know, we need to be focusing on ways to resolve this. We resolve tensions with Iran through diplomacy, and Congress has not come up with a plan for being strategic about this. Neither has the administration. I mean, it seems like the talk now is that sanctions is somehow some sort of diplomatic gesture. Sanctions is not a diplomatic gesture. It's a punitive measure.
And it can hurt the people of the country.
Voted against H.R. 1400.
Well, it can hurt the people of the country more than it hurts the government of the country, as was proven in Iraq. Look what sanctions did to that country. It basically destroyed the middle class in Iraq. But Saddam Hussein didn't have any fewer palaces. His kids weren't any nicer people. They continued to be the vile people that they were. The people closest around him made out like the bandits that they were. But the people of the country of Iraq under sanctions suffered terribly. And they're still suffering in the aftermath of what the United States did to compound that problem. So putting further sanctions on Iran, as you say, is a counter, it's really counterintuitive at this point, considering the history of such matters. But on this Kyle Lieberman matter, I got a lot of emails today asking for people to call their senators and demand that they vote it down.
It's amazing that started. My boss last Friday said, can you put some talking points together on this? And I was, like, so reluctant, and it's just amazing to see it take off.
It's all over the net, I can tell you that, and
yeah,
it's all over
know.
The emails. And I guess phone calls are being made, but in case people were interested in doing it, you can call the Capitol toll-free at 800-828-0498. That's 800-828-0498. And call your senator from wherever you may be listening and say you don't want any wider war, if that's indeed what you want to say. Stay with us a moment, Cindy. We're going to be right back. We need to go for a break. We also would like to invite our listeners to call 1-888-573-8372. That's toll free. 1-888-573-8372. What do you think about a wider war? We'll be right back on the Peter B. Collins program. I'm Larry Bensky sitting in for him.
Wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Hello, everybody. Let's take a look at traffic on this Tuesday. Let's talk a little bit about what's happening right now in Hollister, Fairview Drive at Santa Ana Valley. It's a two-car crash. CHP is actually on the way to the scene there. Then in Twin Lakes, 7th Avenue at Dolores Street, we have a vehicle that is on fire. And it looks like a fire department is on scene putting that fire out. Taking a look at Highway 17. Both directions, northbound, southbound. No problems to report there at the Santa Cruz Mountains. And let's take a look at a little bit of construction. Santa Cruz, Highway 1, both directions between Bay Street and Chestnut. The right lane was closed for some utility work. It just opened up a few minutes ago, so traffic's starting to recover better in the area. Staples, that was easy. You get 100 free business cards at Staples Copy and Print Center with orders of 100 or more. The highly professional are printed in minutes. Get yours at Staples today.
Welcome back to the Peter B. Collins program. I'm Larry Bensky sitting in for Peter B. today. We're talking about the Kyle Lieberman Amendment, and Patricia in Sacramento is with us, along with Kara Ong, who's a policy analyst with the Center for Arms Control and Nonproliferation. Patricia, thanks for joining us. What's on your mind today?
Hi there. Thank you for having me on your show here. Thank you. Appreciate it. I had a question. If we do attack Iran, I mean, it seems right now that this is proceeding forward. What does this mean with our relationship with China and Russia? Do you foresee that China's just going to sit back and allow us to take control of the oil in Iran? Because we know that's the major reason here. And what about Russia? These two countries get their supplies of oil from Iran. And I'll take the answer off the air. Thank you.
Thank you for calling. Patricia, what's your take on that, Kara Ong? The Bush administration doesn't seem tremendously sensitive, to say the least, about the needs, wants, and desires of other countries, including China and Russia. But this would certainly, as Patricia says, be something that would get their attention.
Absolutely. I mean, I think we're certainly going about it the wrong way. In fact, with Russia and China, it would be better if the United States would actually take a step back and have Russia and China put pressure on Iran, because they have more sway with Iran, and they are more involved in Iran's markets. If the United States were to attack, you know, I'm not entirely sure that it's going to attack. It's becoming increasingly likely, and certainly I fear it. But you know, I don't want to give in to the hype. You know, I worry about that we might overhype the threat too much. But at the same time, you know, it's unclear what Russia and China would do. It would certainly, an attack on Iran would certainly strain our relationship with both of those countries. And so I think a much better approach, again, would be to actually, for the United States to step back and to have Russia and China put more pressure on Iran.
Well, I think one thing that China could do would be to stop buying United States dollar-denominated securities, and that would have an interesting effect on the dollar as well as the United States stock market. Emily in Santa Cruz calling about the Kyle Lieberman Amendment. Thanks for joining us on the Peter B. Collins
program. I attended a meeting this morning and got info on this, and now I got into my office. I hear some discussion about it. I didn't hear the whole discussion. But the way I read this, it's an attempt by the administration to circumvent going directly to Congress to get authority to attack Iran. I read it as a way of circumventing that requirement.
I don't think that this amendment was actually initiated by the administration, though. This was initiated directly. I think it was initiated outside of the administration.
Are you kidding? I don't think Kyle and Lieberman dreamt this up without pushing about being pushed by the administration, for God's sake.
I'm not saying that they dreamt it up themselves. I know that it's coming from somewhere else. I'm not saying that. I just don't think it's coming directly from the administration.
Well, what does that mean directly? What does the administration mean? I mean, if you count Dick Cheney as part of the administration, and I think one has to, hasn't this kind of militaristic, bellicose, one could say criminal and murderous approach been coming out of his office for years?
For God's sake,
their line has been, I mean, basically this resolution follows on the Cheney line from his office about, and the Bush has repeated as well, that Iran is conducting a proxy war in Iraq. And they're trying to use that line as an excuse to combat Iran.
My question was whether others that are studying this see it as a way of circumventing the requirement that
You're talking about the War Powers Resolution.
Yeah, that he go directly to Congress to get the authority to attack Iran.
Yeah, but don't forget, most of the military activities that the United States has conducted over the years, including the Vietnam War and the Korean War, never had any authorization, the invasion of Panama. I mean, the list could go on and on.
Well, but it is required. I'm just saying.
It's required, but they don't pay any attention to the requirement.
Well, in this case, this is the way I read this thing.
Well, yeah, thank you, Emily. I think, unfortunately, you may be right. We have time for a quick call from Steve in Salinas. What's on your mind, Steve?
Good afternoon. Something that really scares me about this thing is, if Bush wants to bomb Iran, which he seems to want to do, what about nuclear fallout that could go all over the region?
That's a very good point. We don't know what the United States would be bombing or what's inside those places.
But we know they have nuclear facilities.
Yes, we do. Kara Ong, your take on that quickly.
Yeah, I mean, the military has drawn up plans for targets inside of Iran. If they do hit nuclear facilities, there is the potential that could spew radioactive waste.
And so whoever was downstream from the radioactive waste would get wasted.
Right. And we know that in the case of Iran, Iran has been very strategic. It has placed its nuclear facilities near high population centers.
And so,
we're talking about civilian casualties. And just to answer Emily's question, I mean, the main concerns right now from the Democratic leadership is precisely the question that she was raising about, about it being a way for the administration not to get authorization.
We want to thank you very much for Kara Ong for joining us and thank our callers as well. We'll be right back on the Peter B. Collins program. I'm Larry Binsky.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Clueless in Tehran. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The president of Iran is very smooth. Underdressed, but very smooth. We don't hate Israel, he says. We just ask you to consider the plight of the Palestinians. Leaders who want nuclear weapons are retarded, he says. We only want peace. We don't support terrorists, he says. We just believe in self-defense. He even got some applause. Ah, but there was one comment that drew mostly laughter.
In Iran, we don't have homosexuals like in your country. We don't have that in our country.
They're laughing. They're booing. Maybe they didn't hear what I said. I'd better say it again.
In Iran, we do not have this phenomenon. I don't know who's told you that we have it.
And just like that, the expert debater revealed himself to be clueless, or at the very least, proved that he has never Googled gay and Iran.
It's a Tuesday night in Tehran, and Mani takes us to a coffee shop where there's a weekly gathering of the local gay community.
And yet there was an irony in his comment because he reflects the wishful thinking shared by many of our own religious fundamentalists, doesn't it?
I am not gay. I never have been gay.
In fact, our very own military tells itself the very same tale. In fact, from now on, every time you hear the phrase, don't ask, don't tell, remember this.
We do not have this phenomenon. I don't know who's told you that we have it.
Now this.
Yeah, well, it's a pretty good job, innit, when you think about it? I mean, basically, I help people save money, don't I? Like, I tell people they could save hundreds by switching to Geico. They go to geico.com, maybe save all this money on car insurance, and the next thing you know, I'm, like, invited to their wedding or whatever. One bloke actually asked me to be his best man. Dear, oh dear. Point is, if you want loads of friends, giving away money, it's not a bad idea.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Be sure to try the chow fun noodles with broccoli and hot and sour soup. Jim's Restaurant is now celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Join the party. Buy lunch or dinner for four at Jim's Restaurant in Seaside and get a free order of tempura vegetables. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. That's 394-5117. Jim's is top for takeout and great for catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside, 394-5117.
Sober Stones, do you have yours yet? Big Sur Jade is now available for you. This rare, beautiful, deep green jade is found in a tiny cove south of Big Sur, used by Native Americans in healing for hundreds of years. Keep one in your pocket. to remind you of your commitment to living life present and sober. Go to soberstones.com, soberstones.com for your beautiful pocket jade. Touch it, feel it every day. Look at it. Sober Stones.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
He's smart, funny, opinionated, and also sick today, so he's not here. His name is Peter B. Collins. I'm Larry Bensky, sitting in for him today. It's a great pleasure to be with you, all of our listeners, wherever you may be, including on the Internet. I want to remind you that next hour we'll be opening the phones all hour. You will be our guests and opinion makers and bloggers and pundits, whatever may be on your mind, and we hope it's along the topics that we've been discussing here today, specifically military, militarism, Iraq, and the possible extension of the Bush administration's failed policy in Iraq into the nearby country of Iran, and the failed policy in Afghanistan, which is on the other side of Iran as well. This half hour, we welcome Jason Leopold, and I don't think I've ever spoken to you, Jason, on or off the air. He is with truthout.org, and I wanted to begin by thanking you for Truthout.
Thank you for having me on the show. Good to speak with you.
How long have you been with this Truthout? Truthout.org, we should tell our listeners, is a compilation site, one of the ones that I've come to rely on over the years, along with Common Dreams and the Progressive Review, Sam Smith's estimable work in Washington. Truthout takes printed material, sometimes original, but usually reprinted from various sources. And for those of us who wish we could read 30, 40, 50, or 100 newspapers a day,
right,
we can't.
We've actually, however, though, I must say we've stepped up in the past 2 years our original reporting with a staff of about 5 full-time reporters and, you know, in addition to obviously the, you know, day-to-day news that comes out of Washington, we do some real hard-hitting investigative news stories and, you know, cover various topics as well that you know have political implications for the progressive movement, I guess you could say. And we also have original video on camera interview reports. So.
You do indeed, and they're all very valuable. Jason Leopold, you've been writing some of that original material yourself.
Yes.
I wanted to get you to talk a little bit about something that has received virtually no publicity in this country, and that is the interaction of religiosity. I wouldn't even call it religion. Religiosity and militarism. You've been doing original reporting on that. But before we get into the substance of that, I wanted you perhaps to share with our listeners and me, when you do series reports like the one that came out today, headlined Charges in Religious Lawsuit Against Army Detailed, or the one you did last week, Pentagon Sued Over Mandatory Christianity, do these get picked up very much other than on the web?
It's funny. I used to, my background, I worked at the Los Angeles Times, Dow Jones Newswires, and various wire services. And I could tell you that it gets, you know, when having worked for those publications, when we would write a story, there would be a certain amount of, if you broke a story, for example, there would it would automatically get picked up. And largely because it's the Wall Street Journal reporting it, or the Los Angeles Times. When I write a story now for an independent news outlet, it has been picked up. In fact, both of these stories have been picked up by the Associated Press, but not with, you know, any sort of credit, you know, provided to Truthout, but they've gone out, they've picked up the story and did their own original reporting.
Well, that's encouraging to hear that. Of course, one of the problems...
Which is fine, I should say.
Right, it is fine, but one of the problems you're running up against is the decreasing news hole in these ever-shrinking newspapers where, although they're firing and laying off staff like crazy, they're not necessarily putting any content in there because they don't have any place to put it. A newspaper's only as long as the advertisers will pay for it.
Right, yeah, it's a real... You know, it's a real issue that's just getting worse as, you know, as certainly as the Internet becomes the major source of news for most people. I think it's perhaps in certain parts of the country, people still rely on their local newspaper. But I think if you want to really have insight into world news, politics, the internet is the place to go.
Well, yes, it is, and an increasing number of people, as you say, are going there. But there are differences, and we'll get to that.
And I should actually add, though, that they are going there, and it's also the best place is really the independent news outlets. I mean, there are some fantastic reporters out there, producing some hard-hitting reports that you're just not going to find anywhere else.
That's for sure. Let's get to the substance of what you've been writing about lately in Truth Out, Jason Leopold, the question of religion and the military. There's now a federal lawsuit. Why don't you run our listeners quickly through that?
Well, there's an organization, Military Religious Freedom Foundation. It's a watchdog organization that was launched by Mikey Weinstein, who has spent time in the Air Force. He was an Air Force judge, advocate general, a JAG attorney, and his children were in the Air Force. And a few years ago, his son experienced some real hardcore anti-Semitism, as well as a pressure to embrace this, evangelical Christianity.
What do you mean hardcore anti-Semitism? What happened to him?
He was basically, ridiculed, criticized for being Jewish, and then on top of that, blamed for the death of Jesus.
And this didn't happen in Iran, did it? This happened in the United States.
This
so we can't lay this on, on Ahmadinejad.
In Colorado, at the Air Force Academy.
Where Ahmadinejad has no influence whatsoever there.
No. And, it's funny because it's really something that I think has largely existed for, quite a while. But obviously, with the Iraq War, with the or occupation, the fact that we have more troops out there, that this is a war that has a lot of, I shouldn't say a lot, it has religious overtones. And there has been this push to, to really, as you said earlier, make evangelical Christianity the primary religion and, force soldiers to embrace that. Now, when this first crossed my desk, I wasn't quite sure how widespread this was, but it's really out there more than I could have ever imagined.
Well, how does it go on? What happens to a person in the military? Obviously, you have people who, in combat situations, are under extreme stress and tension and contradictions with what their own moral codes may be as far as what they're being forced to do.
There's a lot of problems.
And people reach for the consolations of religion in such times and always have and always will. And it's good, I think, that they have that if they have it.
I should say that there's nothing wrong with having a wide variety of religions, chaplains who represent various denominations available for soldiers. But when you have one who one chaplain who is forcing soldiers to embrace one form of religion, that becomes a constitutional violation.
Well, there's one soldier here, Jeremy Hall, that you write about, who declined to participate in a Christian prayer ceremony and basically was told that his career was over because of this.
Yeah, well, he doesn't believe in God, or that's what he says. He's an atheist. He doesn't believe in God. He declined to participate in a Christian prayer ceremony commemorating Thanksgiving. And a year went by. This happened in 2006. This past, just last month in August, he received permission from a chaplain to organize a meeting. He's in Iraq, to organize a meeting of like-minded atheists so they could discuss whatever it is they wanted to discuss. He convened that meeting, he put up some flyers, and an Army major broke into that meeting, And when I say broken, he didn't break the door down, but he broke up the meeting and threatened Jeremy Hall, the Army specialist, he said that he would bring him up on violating the Uniform Code of Military Justice if he even thought about having, you know, similar meetings of atheists again.
We'd like to invite our listeners here, the Peter B. Collins Show, to participate. If you have questions or comments about the intersection of religion and the military, perhaps you've come across this yourself or somebody in your family has. Our phone number here is 1-888-573-8372. That's 888-573-8372. Jason Leopold is our guest. He is with truthout.org, where you can read his reports about the topic we're talking about here today. Jason Leopold, it hasn't penetrated, as such things tend not to penetrate, the United States news media very much. But one of the remarks that's been made during the whole course of this Iraq fiasco that has had the most echo around the world, especially around the Muslim world,
right,
is when President Bush used the term crusade.
Yes.
To distinguish what the United States was doing. And, of course, that has tremendous historic reference of
right.
annihilation of people of the faith for Muslims.
Right.
And I don't think that people in the United States quite catch on to or have caught on to,
because yeah.
they're not told about it very often, how this approach of using a Christian religious term like crusade was offensive to so many tens of millions of people around the world.
Well, you know, Lieutenant General William Boykin, who was the Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence back several years ago, during the early days of the invasion, said that this is basically a war against Satanism, and which was what he was referring to the Islamic Muslims. And that they were Satanists, and that this was a crusade. This was a war against good versus evil.
By the way, Boykin, as far as I know, and I just saw a recent reference to this, is still a very active player in the military doctrine making machine of the United States government. Is he not?
He absolutely is. And in addition to that, he is a if you can read various writings that he has put out since he retired, in which he really invokes evangelical Christianity and how, we basically need to, I'm not sure if Christianize or convert all these people to Christianity would be the solution.
We have a call here we want to get to, Jason Leopold.
Sure.
First caller is Carol from Eureka, California. Thanks for joining us today, Carol.
Hello?
Hi, Carol.
Hi, Carol.
Yes, I'd like to mention on this topic, there's an organization called the Freedom From Religion Foundation. It's ffrf.org. They have worked with Mikey Weinstein. They have interviewed him on their radio program. They have podcasts with him, and there's a lot of information on their website about the situation, very much more deeper than you can go into. I recommend your listeners might go to ffrf.org and check out the podcast archives.
Thank you very much for that. Thanks for that
Bye-bye.
Reference, Carol. FFRF.org, the Freedom From Religion Foundation. James in Santa Cruz, thanks for joining us today on the Peter B. Collins program.
Hi. You guys kind of touched on several of the topics, but mainly the Islamic fundamentalist movement that gets a lot of attention in our mainstream media. I guess it seems to parallel a Christian fundamentalist movement in the United States that seems to be growing very strong, especially in government and media and military from other studies I've seen. And no one seems to really catch on that there's a very strong Christian fundamentalist movement that's coinciding kind of to battle this Islamic fundamentalist movement. And movies like Jesus Camp really, really bring this out. It's almost like a new wave of right-wing Christian
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying, James. And of course, they've been a tremendous phenomenon electoral politics in the Bush years. But there are a lot of people think that that wave may have crested and has been declining over the past few months, with all the scandals, especially, and the hypocrisy present in politicians and preachers both. We're going to be right back after a break. Jason Leopold is our guest from truthout.org. This is the Peter B. Collins program. I'm Larry Bensky. We'll be right back.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Hey, everybody, let's take a look at traffic and give you the very latest, starting off with a problem being reported. Let's cruise right on over to wonderful Twin Lakes, 7th Avenue, Dolores. There's a vehicle on fire. Fire department is now on scene. Let's also take a look at Campbell. Looks like Camden Avenue at 17. We have a crash being reported. It's a hit-and-run crash. CHP is actually en route to that situation. Santa Cruz, northbound Highway 1 at Emmeline, the off-ramp still closed for road construction. We want to mention that Ben Lohman, road construction, Highway 1, one-way traffic control in effect from California Drive in Ben Lohman to Big Basin Way in Boulder Creek for tree trimming. In fact, that that construction, I should say, has wrapped up. So that is certainly some good news there. Our support brought to you by Jell-O sugar-free reduced-calorie pudding snacks.
Jason Leopold is our guest here on the Peter B. Collins program. I'm Larry Bensky sitting in for Peter today. Next hour, we're going to be opening our phones for the entire hour. And so get ready with your questions and comments and insights. I want to get back to the question of media, Jason Leopold. It's irresistible to me as somebody who's worked in it for, maybe 50 years or so.
Yeah. And I absolutely share that
obsession, that I'm sure. Truthout.org. How do you guys support yourselves? How do you get your money to pay you and the four or five other people who work there?
Well, first of all, we're a nonprofit, and we are entirely reader funded. It has been I believe it's about 6.5 years that, you know, the readers really connected with the fact that they receive this newsletter three times a day. And that there's no relationship to any corporate entity or any, you know, advertising. It's strictly, you know, reader funded. We are beholden to our readers only, And we found that as the, you know, as readers, as the public started to see the change in the way news was, or the way reporters in Washington, or reporters anywhere really, were covering, you know, certain hot button issues, they started to gravitate toward us. And I believe that they felt that, you know, we were doing our best to dig up the, you know, stories that may be buried on page 824.
Yeah, but when you put out these emails as a subscriber to your service for many years, I'd get them, and you'd say, you know, it's time to pony up, folks. Send your money to Truth Out this month, and then you put out another one saying, well, we're a little bit short still. You know, some of you haven't donated. What kind of response did that get? Give us an idea. How many people in a given month will pledge money to you?
You know, I'll be perfectly honest. I'm not quite sure how many.
100,000, 5,000. I mean, where are we here?
I'd say several thousand.
Several thousand.
Yeah.
And you're able to fund,
are you talking in terms of dollars?
No, I'm talking about a number of people.
The number of people. Yeah, we are absolutely able to. You know, we also get some grants in addition to that.
And what is your total annual budget, if I may ask?
The total annual budget is a little bit over $1 million.
That's amazing, because when you look at Truth Out's site, and I hope a lot of people listening out there will go to truthout.org, it looks and is as wide and varied and insightful and diverse as it almost possibly could be, with material mostly from other print media, but also, as Jason said, a lot of it originated with Truth Out these days. And to do all of that in $1 million a year, I can tell you, is not easy.
Yeah, I mean, let me be perfectly honest. The people that we have working for Truth Out, including me,
are not getting rich.
Well, it's not that we're not getting rich. Is that we, you know, I know I can speak for myself that, you know, I have a passion for reporting and for reporting the news and the truth as I receive it. You know, there are my critics out there who will probably just, you know, had a nice chuckle from me saying that, but you know, we do it because we're passionate about it.
Well, you're passionate about it, but you take on unpopular topics and you publicize them and you give an echo to various things that are printed and written in other places that one like me, who didn't read, as I said, 40, 50, 60 newspapers, I only read 6 or 7 a day online,
and four or five
in hard copy.
Well,
we want to see this stuff.
Question that you have, you know, there are times when the Washington Post, for example, there are some reporters there who do some really great work, groundbreaking stories.
No question.
However, that story will get buried on page, as I said earlier, 824. Nobody will ever see it.
Or even if it's a Sacramento Bee reporter who
does
a good job, and there are plenty of them, or San Francisco Chronicle, or wherever, they'll do stories, and they'll be there, and you say, gee, this is a really important story, and it doesn't get any further. And Truth Out has a way of echoing that. Well, listen, before we finish here, Jason Leopold, I wanted to get back to this topic of religion and the military. There's a serious constitutional issue here, is there not?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, basically what the military is, you know, is having right now, it appears to be a religion test, you know, forcing soldiers to embrace one form of religion, which is, a constitutional violation. You know,
well, but you've got, if this ever gets to where it should be in the courts, and it gets up to the Supreme Court, you got four right-wing Catholics and one moderate Catholic who are going to be ruling on this. That's not a tremendously encouraging prospect.
No, and I don't think that anyone, you know, the most important should expect that, you know, there will be a winner, if you will, out of this. But I think the most important thing is bringing this topic to the attention of the public, making sure the public is informed and aware that this is happening, that here we are, you know, fighting a war where we're occupying another country, and we have army chaplains who are employed by the federal government who are pushing a form of religion, you know, a certain type of religion on soldiers.
Well, what happens to soldiers who are Muslims? There must be plenty of them.
Yeah, but, you know, I need to mention that just last month, the Inspector General of the Defense Department issued a 45-page report excoriating high-level officials in the Army and Air Force for participating in uniform while on active duty in a Christian embassy video. It was a promotional video for a evangelical organization in which they, you know, touted this organization and said it's, you know, fantastic.
They did this in uniform.
They did this in uniform.
What would happen if they marched in a peace demonstration in uniform?
Well, that was going to be my point, is that they did this in uniform, and the Inspector General recommended that some form of punishment be, that they be punished in one form or another. Now, we have soldiers who have come back who have, faced, I guess it would be dishonorable discharge or violating the Uniform Code of Military Justice for participating in anti-war protests.
Jason Leopold, we're going to have to leave it there because we are out of time. I want to thank you very much for all your good work over the years, and once again recommend our listeners take a look at truthout.org. And stay with us for the next hour. We're going to have open phones here. I'm Larry Bensky, sitting in for Peter B. Collins. The number is 888-573-8372.
Have past due problem debt, we can help. Whether you have personal debt problems or business debt, we can save you anywhere from 40 to 80% off that debt. My name is Rhonda, and I am with BHR & Associates, and we are professional debt negotiators. We charge nothing up front, and if we can't help you, there is no fee. You will have the option to accept or not accept any settlement we reach on your behalf. Remember, no results, no fee. We will be happy to discuss this with you further. There's no obligation whatsoever. Please get in touch with us now for more details and information. Call now. As for Rhonda, I will be happy to review your situation.
Don't let mounting debt and collection calls ruin your life. Call now, 888-581-5888. Let the pros negotiate with your creditors with no upfront cost or obligation. Call now, 888-581-5888. That's 888-581-5.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The House right now is wrapping up debate, moving toward a vote on S-CHIP, the health insurance program for kids. President Bush threatens to veto a $35 billion expansion of S-CHIP over 5 years, but Speaker Nancy Pelosi says he'll come around.
We think the president has 10 million reasons to sign the S-CHIP bill, the 10 million children who will benefit.
Mr. Bush supports a $5 billion increase. Georgia Republican Phil Gingrich says the Democrats' plan goes way too far.
This massive expansion of an entitlement program is an irresponsible way to spend American taxpayers' hard-earned money.
Republicans say it's a step toward government-run health care. Alan Greenspan says it will get worse before it gets better. The former Fed chairman predicts a continuing decline in home prices as sales fall off, and sales of existing homes fell in August for the sixth month in a row. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason.
This is not driven so much by the economy. It's driven, you know, much more by what was the huge acceleration in housing prices and then, of course, the mortgage crisis, as we've come to call it. I mean, basically, you've got, you know, fewer buyers out there, in part because they can't get loans or they're having to put their houses on the market because they can't afford it anymore.
President Bush barely mentioned Iraq in his speech at the UN today, but when his term came, Iran's President Ahmadinejad blasted what he called the U.S. occupation.
No weapons of mass destruction were discovered, but the occupation continues under different excuses. No day passes without people being killed, wounded, or displaced.
Ahmadinejad declared the issue of Iran's nuclear program closed and vowed to ignore the Security Council's demand that his country stop enriching uranium. Flights in a 250-mile radius around Memphis had to be grounded for 3 hours today when communications equipment failed at the FAA's Regional Traffic Control Center. Before the problem was fixed, there were flight delays across the country. The port of Oakland, California, one of the nation's busiest, was shut down today after an accident yesterday that killed a worker. KCBS Radio's Bob Melrose reports.
The accident occurred when the stevedore was apparently crushed by one of the huge containers on a ship. Generally, when something like this happens, longshoremen close the port for at least a day out of respect for their co-worker. Port of Oakland spokeswoman Marilyn Sandifer says this is unfortunate.
This is the time of the year when generally it's called peak season, and the goods that are moving through the Port of Oakland are usually coming in to set up for the holidays and stock the shelves.
Cal OSHA is investigating. Bob Melrose, CBS News, Oakland, California.
Football star Michael Vick and three associates now face state dogfighting charges in Virginia. A grand jury indicted them today. Vick has already pleaded guilty to a federal charge of dogfighting conspiracy. The Dow, 19 points higher today. This is CBS News.
Just imagine what you can accomplish today. You can start your own company. You can paint a portrait or cook a gourmet meal or just be yourself. Every day, we're free to accomplish all kinds of fascinating things. And for generations, the people of Citgo have been providing energy for our achievements, big and small. With access to the largest crude reserves in the Western Hemisphere, the people of Citgo are here to help fuel our way of life. Citgo, there at every turn.
Welcome to Lardo's. Can I take your order?
Yeah, two love handles and a double chin, too. Baby, what you want?
Can I get a booty do?
Well, if only 39 cents more, you can get our signature big honkin' booty do.
What are you really getting in your combo meal? Instead of greasy fast food, try the new Subway Fresh Fit meal that fits into the American Heart Association's approach to a healthy lifestyle. Now with more tasty choices like new hearty wheat bread that's a good source of fiber and low-fat Dannon yogurt. Subway, eat fresh.
Subway Fresh Fit meals are not a diet program.
The three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic. There's a new report card on how kids are doing. CBS News correspondent John Harchie reports.
The results are in from tests earlier this year given to a sample of several hundred thousand American students.
Trend lines in both reading and math are consistently up, particularly that's true in the fourth grade.
Darvin Winnick, chair of the panel that compiles the nation's report card, says it's good that scores for both whites and minorities are increasing. However,
bad news is there's still quite a difference. You know, it would be nice to eliminate the difference.
Winnick also suggests more research into why eighth graders are not progressing as well as the younger students. John Harchie, CBS News, Washington.
Animal rights extremists have some explaining to do to the kids at a preschool in Spokane. Their pet rabbit Sugar Bunny was stolen, and flyers protesting the treatment of circus animals were left in its cage. PETA disavows the bunny napping, saying it doesn't object to people keeping domestic animals. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
When you were a kid, wishing upon a star was a cute idea. But unless I'm completely in the dark here, you're not a kid anymore. Though you still got dreams, don't you? You got a plan to get them up and running, or are you just keeping your fingers crossed? Maybe it's time for a wake-up call.
Dream Plan Track from Ameriprise Financial. Financial planning redefined. Visit us at Ameriprise.com/dream.
Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Know that Office Depot rewards you for shopping? Sign up now for the new Office Depot Worklife Rewards program. It's bigger, better, and more rewarding than ever. Now you get 10% back on ink, toner, paper, design, print, and ship purchases, plus 1% back on nearly everything else you buy. It's free, and there's no limit to the amount of rewards you can earn. Rewards are given as an Office Depot reward card when you earn a minimum of $10 in rewards. Certain restrictions apply. Excludes HP ink and toner. Go to myworkliferewards.com for details.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
And we are in Peter B's America, and we hope we're in your America, too. I'm Larry Densky, sitting in for Peter B today. Peter will be back tomorrow. I've been doing talk radio for, something like 40 years off and on, commercial, non-commercial, mostly non-commercial. And I've known Peter B over the years and have really admired him and used to be one of his regular listeners in one of the various places where he got his tickets punched. And then they punched him out. This is your hour, folks. Our hour, I should say. We have open phones. We want to talk about some of the topics we've talked about the last 2 hours, especially the question of extension of United States military activity to Iran. The appearance of Mahmoud Ahmadinejad yesterday in New York and today in New York at the United Nations, being used as a kind of a punching bag by the always punching right wing to say, you see, that's another country run by a nut. It's not just Saddam Hussein in that area. It's this guy, too. He says irresponsible things. He may be developing irresponsible weapons. What's a responsible and what's an irresponsible weapon, of course, depends on who's defining it. And therefore, we may have to take him out. Oh, there'll be a little collateral damage, i.e. tens of thousands of dead people or people affected by radiation of nuclear facilities, peaceful or not peaceful, or blown up. But hey, there's the omelet, and we got to break some eggs. And there are people actually saying that in and out of the Bush administration. And then we have this Lieberman-Kyle amendment that we talked about a little while ago on this program, and that is making the rounds of the Internet today big time. It's being debated in Washington, and our expert that we spoke to on the air here, Kara Ong, the policy analyst for the Center for Arms Control and Nonproliferation, says the Senate may even pass this thing, which is basically a de facto declaration of, you go ahead and do whatever you need to, George Bush, do it to Iran next. What do you think about that? Are you encouraged at all by the fact that such an overwhelming percentage of people who are polled in this country say, we don't want this, we didn't want it in the first place, it isn't working, don't extend it? Does it seem to matter? Why doesn't it matter more to the political system of this country that so many people are opposed to what the Bush administration has done and is proposing to do? Our toll-free number here is 1-888-573-8372. Wherever you may be listening on the air or on the Internet to the Peter B. Collins program, we'd like to hear from you right now, 1-888-573-8372. That's a toll-free number from wherever you may be. If you have questions or comments or insights, does any of this actually impact your life? Because one of the problems we have in this country right now, as I see it, is that with a lack of the military draft, and with the supposed volunteer army, which, of course, is an army of people who are there in some cases because they have no economic alternatives. But in this circumstance, very few of us, percentage-wise, know someone, have someone in our family, know someone in our neighborhood who's in the military or even thinking about going into the military. It's become a career option. And, of course, some people choose that for honorable reasons. Some choose it for other reasons. What do you think about this? Should we have compulsory military service in this country so that we're all involved and our sons and daughters and we ourselves are on the line? 1-888-573-8372. We're talking about military, militarism, the situation in Iraq and perhaps in Iran, and we'd like your participation this hour here on the Peter B. Collins program. Once again, the toll-free number, 888-573-8372. Ali in Sacramento is our first caller this hour. Thanks for joining us today, Ali. How you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I just wanted to comment on the Iran thing.
Yes.
The thing is that the majority of the people in Iran, they want freedom. You know, they want to be able to live and breathe and all that. But it's just the fact that there's these mullahs that are in charge that are just, you know, tightening the noose around the average Iranian. And so if we have an American attack on Iran, that's just going to turn the Iranian who's against the mullahs to turn against the Americans.
Ali, can you do me a favor and turn your radio down a little bit? We're getting an echo in the background, and your thoughts are very valuable. But, you know, I've seen an article, and maybe you have too, more than one article, that says that the United States military establishment has prepared a 600 target list in Iran. What would that be like, bombing 600 targets or even 60 targets?
You know, just one, whether it's just a small little bullet. The thing is, that small little bullet can create, you know, an everlasting, you know, destruction in the Middle East. Because the thing is, look, Iran is, the Persian culture is thousands of years old. And there, just look through the history and you can see that, yes, there have been The Iranian nation, the Persian nation, has been invaded over and over many, many years and many, many times. But the thing is, they don't go out that easily. They fight to the death. And they may dislike the mullahs right now, but if a foreigner comes in and attacks another fellow Iranian, whether that's his own enemy, that's Iranian honor right there. That's Persian honor. And no Persian or no Iranian will stand by and watch another Iranian get hurt like that.
Well, let me ask you about this, Ali, since you're talking about the question of honor. What was your take, what is your take, on how Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has been treated in New York and in the United States media during his visit?
Well, you know, I mean, it's like many people said, you know, it was like, this is democracy. We allow a lunatic to come over, you know, and, you know, give him the respect of talking, you know, and having the chance, like, hey, let's give you the podium and let's see what you have to say for yourself. I mean, if the roles were reversed, I mean, I don't think, you know, somebody can do that in Iran.
You don't think they'd invite President Bush to speak to Parliament in Iran, huh?
Well, I mean, if he can even make it to Iran, you know, peace, you know.
He can't even make it to the green zone in Iraq. I mean, when he had to fly over there the other week, it wasn't even safe enough to bring him to Baghdad. That's how bad things
exactly.
have gotten over there. Thanks for calling, Ali. We appreciate your participation.
Thank you very much.
Matt in Sacramento is our next caller. Matt, what's on your mind today?
Well, actually, one thing quick. You were asking, why don't we seem to have more impact as the people? And back when he was still governor of New York, Roosevelt gave a nationwide radio address that was printed verbatim in the New York Times. And in it he said that the United States is an oligarchy that masquerades as democracy.
Was he impeached?
He was governor of New York and they elected him president, so I don't know. But anyway, and we've got to wake up to this fact that, you know, democracy is not what we're practicing. But it is we the people, the most important words in our Constitution.
Yeah, but it's
capitalized
become
capitalized in the first three words.
Right, it's now, become a spectator sport, though, hasn't it?
Not for me.
No, obviously not.
Now,
not for
now,
me
this
either.
This is smash mouth for me. But anyway, what I'm really curious about is when Roosevelt, after Pearl Harbor, he got up in front of the nation and he said, and now I am asking Congress to declare war on Japan. So where did we get off where the president can declare war?
Well, the president can't. I mean, Congress has to do it. But the fact of the matter is that the United States has conducted many warlike military activities abroad.
I know, and they're all extra-constitutional wars.
So you got to impeach the guy if you're going to go after him on that level. And have you seen, I mean, there's been an active movement, as you know, in this country for the past year and a half, at least, to impeach President Bush, and it hasn't seemed to get traction.
No, but see, you don't even have to impeach him. Congress just has to stand up and say the only way we'll go to war with a country is if we declare it. And if we declare war, then the whole country goes to war like we did in World War II.
So who
all we have to do.
Who represents you in Congress? Who's your representative?
Nobody, but it's Doolittle. But no, and nobody's representing you either. I hate to tell you this.
Well, I live in Barbara Lee's district, so I do feel represented. But
well, anybody who has not stood up and said that the United States Congress has to do what they are constitutionally required to do, which is declare wars, and when wars are declared, the country goes on a war footing.
Yeah, and this country.
And we draft people, we send them to the war in the millions. We quit making cars. We start making whatever we need. And if we're not going to do that, then there's something really wrong with the people of this country.
Well, there's something wrong.
I won't take more of your time.
Well, thank you for calling. There may be something wrong with some of the people in this country, but there's definitely something wrong with the institutions of this country, which are not functioning in a way that, as Matt said, seems to conform to the laws and practices of the Constitution. Our phone number here is 888-573-8372. If this is on your mind at all, and I can't see how it isn't, at least some of the time, the question of the United States now possibly expanding military activities from Iraq and Afghanistan into Iran, the amendment pending on the Senate floor, even as we speak, the Lieberman-Kyle Amendment, which would in effect authorize the Bush administration to conduct military activity against Iran, not that they aren't already, but it's so-called paramilitary activity going on across the borders. Is this on your mind at all? Does this trouble you? Is there something that you think can or should be done about it? Or are we just going to sit back and wait for 2008 and vote, and maybe the Democrats will increase their majority? And what's that going to mean anyway? The phone number here, 888 888- 573-8372, 888-573-8372. And we are going to shortly be taking a break. When we come back, we will have your phone calls. 888-573-8372. I'm Larry Bensky, sitting in for PDB Collins.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos.
One of the biggest benefits for us are the relationships that we establish with our customers. Our customers have said that they love coming to our place because we have great stuff and great prices.
The thing that makes us unique is the mix of things. It's a very eclectic mix. We've become a destination for a lot of people. They'll bring friends out. They'll do little mini tour buses and bring friends. So we really, really appreciate that. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. We have everything from French soaps to linens to wall hangings.
And it's gotten to the point where people think of us when they need a gift. It's not just a utilitarian purchase or frivolous, but they make us a regular stop when they need a gift.
We're open from 10 to 5 Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale from 12-Step Talk Uncensored. Saturdays from 4 to 5 p.m., listen as we deal with life-changing issues that affect all of us. Our fears, passions, anger, addictions, the law of attraction, and how we change ourselves so we can live an extraordinary life. Join me, Sheila Gale, as we share tools for change that work. 12-Step Talk Uncensored, Life 105, Saturdays 4 to 5, brought to you by Sun Street Centers with education, prevention, and treatment for alcohol and drug addiction.
Hey, everybody, let's take a look at the latest. Starting off with a problem. Twin Lakes, this is 7th Avenue in Dolores. There's a vehicle on fire. The fire department wrapping things up there. In fact, that is indeed in the clearing stages. Let's take a look at Watsonville. Charles Shell Lane at San Miguel Canyon Road. Have a fire burning there. It's a grass fire. It's burning on the right shoulder. Fire department just not quite on scene there, so they are en route to be more accurate. South San Jose, San Felipe Road at Metcalf with a motorcycle down. Minor injuries being reported there. Looking at Highway 17, looks like Highway 17 at Bear Creek Road. We have an overturned vehicle that's in the Santa Cruz Mountains. It's blocking the westbound lane. Minor injuries being reported there. Fire department paramedics responding to that particular problem. The support brought to you by your Central Coast Chevy dealer. It's the Chevy model year-end event, and the 2007 Chevy HHRLS is just a click away.
We're back here on the Peter B. Collins program in our final hour for today. I'm Larry Bensky, sitting in for Peter, who will be back tomorrow, cured of his laryngitis, we hope. Our phone number toll-free from wherever you may be about war and peace issues and the expansion of the military effort into Iran, possibly, which the Senate is debating even as we speak. Toll-free number is 888-573-8372. And Ethan is calling from Arcata, where the 60s meet the sea. Thanks for joining us, Ethan, today.
Hey, Larry. I'm actually in Eureka right now.
Oh, okay. Well, the 60s are nearby there, too.
Same deal. I'm driving in traffic in the beautiful little northern coastal town of Eureka. And I grew up here, and we didn't used to have traffic here. And it occurs to me that the reason that we have these broad streets that are just crowded with cars right now in a town of 25,000 people is that the governmental and business institutions in this country have deliberately undermined good sense. And I had the opportunity to visit Germany last summer. And
Ethan, you're beginning to break up a little. Did you say that the institutions have undermined good sense?
Yeah, good sense. We don't have rail systems or public transportation that can accommodate me and other people.
Well, you know, I'm one of the few living. One of the few living people that actually once rode a train from the Bay Area up to Eureka.
Hey, I can't wait. We need to get that kind of thing going again. You know.
Well, they let the railroad deteriorate. You're absolutely right, to the point where the freight trains were even falling into the river, and then they abandoned it completely. Now, with the kind of technological, I mean, I was reading in the paper today that they're adding another $50 billion into the military budget to build improved armored vehicles so that they can drive down the streets of Baghdad without getting blown up. Now, what on earth are they saying when we can't even have a train system that transports the people from the northern to the southern or the central parts of the state of California, but we're going to devote $50 billion more dollars to devising these machines, which, by the way, aren't going to work. Somebody's going to figure out how to bomb them, too. That's the whole history of weaponry. Priorities are crazy.
It's crazy, and it's totally in defiance of good sense. And it's a deliberate, and it's a huge conspiracy. That's the only way good sense can be undermined.
Well, wait a minute. I don't think you need a conspiracy to do that. These people are doing it right out in the open. You know, they don't need to conspire. They got the levers of power, and they're doing whatever they damn please.
It could be conspiracy in the form of undermining the education system so that people don't feel like they have any power in their life. Anyway. It's all there.
All right. Thanks for calling, Ethan.
Can I get one more thing?
Both hands back on the wheel. Sure, quickly.
Okay. I listened to Democracy Now! Today, and everything Ahmadinejad said, aside from the gay thing, made complete sense. And not only did it make sense, it sounded like a powerful truth-telling.
Well, it didn't make sense to me when he said we have a lot of Jews in Iran and everybody's living happily. Most of the Jewish people in Iran have gotten out of there long ago because it was an oppressive circumstance for them. Thanks for calling, Ethan. We're going to go on. We got a lot more calls here. Dave in Pinnacles. Where is Pinnacles, Dave?
It's a national park in southern Monterey County, about 40 miles from Salinas.
Well, good for you. Say hello to nature for us. What's on your mind?
Well, I'd just like to say that this Iranian president facilitated the neocons' notion of attacking Iran. We always thought that Bush was around the bend. This guy is further around the bend. He's not helping his cause at all. He's given the neocons a good reason to go after him. All they're going to do is go, look, this guy's crazy. He's going to try to kill everybody. We got to get him first. Did you know that that's what's going to happen, dude? I'm telling you.
Can you say Saddam Hussein?
Gotta get him first. You know what? I'm telling you, have you ever read The Other Side of Deception? It's like about the Mossad agent written by a diary. Two Mossad agents are talking to each other. One is saying, well, I got to go over to Baghdad to set up Saddam Hussein because the Americans are going to come and get him. The book was written in 1995, The Other Side of Deception. I mean, this is the whole thing with Larry in building number 7 and him and being big friends with Ariel Sharon and the
okay,
list
wait a minute,
goes
wait,
on
yeah, okay,
and
I,
on
I,
and
I don't
on
want to get too
on.
Deep into associative guilts here, various
well,
people in various
no,
scenarios.
No,
I want to
no,
go
no,
on
no.
to, we got a lot more callers, Dave. Thanks a lot. I want to go to Billy Sunshine in Capitola. Thanks for joining us.
Hey there. Well, you know, it's always the Jews. Let's get real. But I want to talk about Iran.
Okay.
Dave is great. Well, here's the problem. You see, Ahmadinejad, you know, they don't have any homosexuals, okay, and everything else. So he's a liar, right? We know he's a liar or a fool, but probably both. We have a president, for example, who's also a liar and a fool. And what's interesting is that, you know, countries can be forced by very few evil, stupid, horrible men to kill each other.
Yeah, but isn't there supposed to be in this country the system of checks and balances? And
oh,
I know
friend,
the people
you know,
who write the checks determine the balances,
be,
right?
But you know it isn't there anymore, is it?
Well, we still have to operate as if there is some pressure we can put on it. Otherwise, what are we going to do, go to the mall?
Well, no, that's the whole point. We are going to the mall, and we have no pressure. The, you know, Nancy Pelosi once again says, you know, it's off the table. I won't take a criminal, a war criminal, a person who brought us to war on lies, made us kill lots of innocent Iraqis. I don't understand, you know, all this pro-choice stuff.
We'll be right back.
Killing Iraqis who are innocent.
We're going into a break. We're going to take more phone calls. Stay tuned.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a killer affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a bite of ganoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. I'll have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Hey, this is Larry from Acme Coffee, and if, like me, you own a business and are tired of waiting through aggressive sales reps pushing you to advertise on mediocre network TV stations or stale radio broadcasters, contact KRXA 540 sales manager Larry Rathall at 394-5792. AM 540's committed listener base will help you grow your business. I know, because they're helping me grow mine. Call Larry at 394-KRXA.
Joseph's Upholstery of Monterey will satisfy all of your upholstery needs, whether for your home or business. Joe Vitale finishes headboards, chairs, sofas, and pillows. Joe imports the finest selected fabrics from Italy, Germany, France, and other European countries to add a distinctive touch to your home or office. Joseph's Upholstery is conveniently located at 222 Ramona Avenue in Monterey. They're open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and on Saturday, 9 to 1. Call Joe at 831-372-3224. Remember, at Joseph's Upholstery, there's one low price for all. And free delivery and pickup is available throughout Monterey and Santa Cruz counties. Call Joe Vitale now at Joseph's Upholstery, 372-3224.
Eleven AM Saturdays.
All you need is love.
The Quantum Leap.
All you need is love. All you need is love. Love. Love is all you need.
On KRXA 540.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
And here we are in the final half hour of Peter B's America for today. I'm Larry Bensky, an immigrant into Peter B's land. And at the end of this half hour, I will emigrate again, but it's been a pleasure to be on the air in his stead. He will be back tomorrow. He has a slight case of laryngitis today. Our phones are overflowing sometimes with callers, but right now we have some open lines. 888-573-8372. We'd love to hear from you about the issues we've been discussing the past 2.5 hours, especially the possibility that the United States Senate is going to pass a resolution which might enable President Bush to extend his military reach, and that means killing a whole bunch more folks, into Iran. It's called the Lieberman-Kyle Amendment, and we'll talk about it more this hour. Our toll-free number, 888-573-8372. Joe in Monterey, thanks for joining us on the Peter B. Collins program.
Yes, hello. Yeah, I've followed, you have interesting guests, but something I've mentioned to Peter B. also, since you have them on the line, they all seem to be some of the only people that know what's going on. Most people don't. I don't know if you've noticed.
I have noticed,
at least
yeah.
The ones, the 90% that listen to the right-wing gibberish, I mean right-arm gibberish. Anyway, before he extends the long arm of the law, I realize it's a habit in places like Texas. They're kind of famous for frontier justice. But I wonder if anybody, there's a point that all your different knowledgeable guests seem to have overlooked. The lady, I forget her name, the knowledgeable lady, seemed to touch on at the end of her discourse the fact that the radiation could affect our troops, let alone all those poor contractors. You know, hopefully they've got gas masks handy. But I think there's a bigger problem, which is why, has anybody drawn the connection that maybe the special session of the UN is about just this very thing? I'm only curious because I used to do translating work for NATO Alliance back during the height of the Cold War. You know?
What were your languages?
Well, I'm not free to say on the air, but anyway, you know, common languages, German, you know how many members there were of the NATO alliance. This is the point I'm trying to make. I won't take up too much of your time. Has anyone noticed that we're not conferring with NATO, even though we're one of the founding members? Has anybody even, I know one...
Well, you're assuming we're not. I mean, a lot goes on behind the scenes that we
right,
have no idea.
Right, but that's a prerequisite to all this talk. You know, they're aware of the PNAC Accords. They're aware of that plan going back to, what did you say, 95? So, you know, the other day, I couldn't exude any reaction, you know, being a senior and surrounded by seniors who still think, they still are under the impression that the contractors are there to fix plumbing and electrical stuff for the
building. Well, they need to read up a little more, don't they? Thanks for joining us.
Yes,
we're
going
to go on to Mike in Granite Bay, California. Hi, Mike. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. Hey, thanks for taking my call. Hey, I just, you know, I am a card-carrying right-winger, and I've been listening to your callers, and I think I know what's going on, and I would think that our best way to handle Iran is to take them head-on. And
what does that mean?
What's that?
What does that mean?
That means we do whatever we need to do to protect ourselves.
What do you mean protect ourselves? Against what?
Against Iran supplying weapons of mass destruction to people who want to do us harm.
You know, that's a familiar phrase, weapons of mass destruction. Aren't you a little bit wary of using it after the, what we've learned in the last 5 years?
What? Learned what?
That the pretext for the invasion and occupation of Iraq was largely the possession of weapons of mass destruction that turned out not to exist.
Well, number one, we don't know that they didn't exist yet. And I would also
You don't think
say
that George
that
Bush and Condoleezza Rice and Dick Cheney would be parading around with pictures and evidence if they had found them? And are you familiar at all, by the way, with the work of Mohammed El-Baradei and the International Atomic Energy Agency, which has inspected and is allowed to inspect and has continued to inspect Iranian facilities and has found no credible evidence that they are developing weapons of mass destruction, just as he found no credible evidence that they weren't developing any in Iraq? Now, what do you say protect ourselves against something which is chimerical, if I may use an elaborate big word? The supposed...
Oh, yeah, I understand it.
You understand chimerical?
I went to college.
Good. Good. So did I. I'm glad we both got out with our degrees. I hope you did get out with yours. Now, what do you mean about protecting ourselves?
I mean, are you trying to insult me? Or?
No, I'm trying to find out what you mean by protecting ourselves against something which may not exist.
I'll tell you why. Because you can't be wrong. If you're wrong, a lot of people, a lot of Americans will die.
And if you're wrong on the other side,
take that risk?
And if you're wrong the other way, a lot of Iranians are going to die.
Well, I think that a lot of Iranians are going to die anyway because of the way the country's going, don't you?
A lot of people in this country die as well, by the way, the people going, we got to have some tangible evidence, you know.
I agree with you. I mean, but are you willing to take that risk? You're responsible for the safety of the United States. Are you willing to roll the dice and say, I'll take the hit first?
No.
Because, well, then what's your position?
Government is not about rolling.
How far are you going to let them go?
No, government is not about rolling the dice. Government is about making informed choices. And one of the things that really shocked me most that I heard these past 3 hours was our guest in Washington from the Center for Arms Control and Nonproliferation. It was the co-director of the Shadow Company, the film about mercenaries, saying he was invited to an ad hoc gathering, I don't know if you heard this, of Democrats on Capitol Hill a couple of days ago, so that he could brief them about mercenaries in Iraq. These people have the power investigation, enormous possible staffs, control theoretically over research organizations in the State Department and the CIA, and they don't even know. We're going to move on to some few more callers. We're going to go to James in Sacramento. Thanks for joining us on the Peter B. Collins Show, James.
Larry, you're welcome to use words like chimerical, but only if you explain what they mean.
I'll send you an email.
I'm sorry?
I'll send you an email.
Thank you, sir. Last time I talked to you on the radio and by phone was you were on Sokol's show presenting your interview with Ollie North.
Uh-huh, that's a long time ago.
So are you still at KPFA?
No, I left KPFA back in April. I basically retired from the veil of tears that is talk radio, and only somebody as persuasive as Peter B. Collins could get me to come and do it occasionally again.
So you might be heard on his show occasionally.
I may be here again, but I hope he doesn't have to have laryngitis for it to happen.
Okay, well, keep up the good work. When Air America came about, I thought it was going to be Larry Bensky Light, and it turns out to be George Carlin Sirius. So I miss you a lot, man.
Thanks for calling, James.
Bye.
We're going to go on to another Sacramento caller. It is Sharon. Thanks for joining us today, Sharon.
Hi. Two callers ago, you had a man who had logic that I would like to try to capture.
Sure.
If my mother gets heart disease and it's because McDonald's hamburgers served her hamburgers, should not I destroy all McDonald's hamburgers before they destroy my mother again?
Yes, you should.
These people, they're a cult, and they have bugs on their eyes. And remember Sam, son of Hill? Didn't he hear things? That's what paranoid people do, right? They think people are going to try to kill them, so then they kill them.
And where will it stop?
Right, right.
I mean, you know, one of the things that I wake up with and go to sleep with at night, and I did this for 10 years during the Vietnam era, and I hope that in my life I would never have to do it again, was the thought and image of the people who live in Baghdad right now and what it must be like. Do you ever think about that, what it must be like?
Oh, man, getting woken up at night at the butt of a gun?
Or thinking if your son or daughter goes to school, they may not come back because they're going to get kidnapped or hit by a roadside bomb. Or not being able to have enough clean water to clean yourself and your clothes. Or having an uncertain food supply. And in 120-degree heat, the electricity goes off for 6-7 hours in a row. How many of us in this country could even live a week in a circumstance where we can't be get our food supply, our laundry, our clean water, or anything like that? And this is these people's existence day in and day out.
Yep, and that's why people who've been to war, my father went to war, the people who've been to war are the ones who are trying to stop this. And the little smirky, cocky buttheads like that guy who called in two callers ago, and I hope he's listening. That little wimp, I'll bet he's never served a day in his life. I'm sorry.
Well, thanks for calling.
Nice day.
Well, we're having a nicer one than a lot of people are in places like Iraq, and certainly, you know, Iran is no paradise. Don't get me wrong. From anything I know about Iran, it's a bad, bad situation for a lot of people in that country as well. But it isn't going to be made any better by dropping bombs on them. Jake and Eureka, thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, how's it going? Well, you know, dropping bombs on Iran is only going to serve the Iranian regime's purposes. You know, it's only going to, you know, help the Iranian public get behind the Iranian regime. You know, they are nationalists just like we are in this nation. And if we preemptively attack their nation, they're going to rally around their flag, and Ahmadinejad is going to become the most popular leader in Iranian history. But the whole point here is, I mean, let's be honest about Iran. When was the last time Iran invaded anybody? It's been, what, several centuries at least. You know, the whole point is they're saying we have to go preemptively attack Iran because they may have weapons someday that they may use on us. Well, you know, if they're going to go by that logic, then why didn't they just go ahead and bomb China? Or during the Cold War, why didn't they just go ahead and bomb the Soviet Union? I mean, this is absolute insanity what these right-wing Republicans, these neocons, are proposing.
You know,
a foreign policy that's basically the same as Nazi Germany's. Nazi Germany did the same thing with Poland. They said Poland had weapons that were a threat to the homeland. And they went and invaded Poland preemptively and started World War II. And essentially that's what these Republicans want to do, to start World War III.
You know, I am far from an expert about the internal or, for that matter, international politics of Iran. But you can be sure that there is a faction in Iran right now that is based around their military that is saying the only way we are going to stop this stuff coming from the United States is if we can convince them that we can cause them so much hurt in return, not just in Iraq, which of course is easily within the range of missiles and bombers, but Israel as well. And that there is an enormous amount of intelligence work going on right now trying to figure out exactly how much Iran has got and how much they could get over Iraq and over Israel if they were attacked. Because it would only take one missile or one bomber or one fighter plane properly armed to cause a hell of a lot of harm in return. And that is called mutually assured destruction, MAD. And that's what worked during the Cold War. And some element of that is in play right now. Thanks for calling. We are going to go on to John, who is calling from Carmel Valley. Thanks for joining us today on the Peter B. Collins program.
Larry, I have some books to recommend. One that I picked up in a thrift store. Didn't think much of it when I first perused it, but highly recommend it now that I've mostly read it. It's by Bob Reese, or Rice, R-E-I-S-S, and it's called The Coming Storm. It's about global warming, but it came out in 2001. It's not that recent a book. And what the author does very effectively is he takes a series of actual weather events in the 90s, and he's essentially saying to the reader, oh, you thought you'd have to wait until the next century, the one we're in now, to see the effects of global warming. And he takes, for instance, a series of terrible tornadoes that hit Nashville back in April of 98. He takes that terrible fire that we've almost forgotten about, the one that was the third greatest conflagration of this nation's history, the one in the Berkeley Hills in Oakland.
I saw that from my front steps. Listen, we have to take a break right now, but that's a very interesting, The Coming Storm, Bob Reiss, R-E-I-S-S. I want to thank you very much for that book reference. We'll be back with more of your calls in our final segment. Our telephone number, 888-573-8372. This is the Peter B. Collins Program. I'm Larry Bensky, sitting in for him.
Terry MacArthur of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry MacArthur is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffeehouse in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Isha Bridge Prob North. All right, let's take a look at the traffic, folks, and talk a little bit about what's happening right now. And let's cruise right on over to. Well, we had a problem in the Santa Cruz Mountains, Bear Creek Road at Highway 17. It's an overturned vehicle blocking the westbound lane. Minor injuries reported there. That's somewhat positive news. Watsonville, Charles Shell Lane at San Miguel Canyon Road. We do have a vehicle on fire on the right shoulder, and apparently the fire department is on scene there. Also want to take a look at a problem in slow traffic, northbound 1 between Monterey and Carmel.
And we are back here for our final few minutes on the Peter B. Collins Program. Peter will be back tomorrow. He has a case of laryngitis today, but I happen to know he's not that badly off because he's sitting right opposite me here in his studios engineering this program. But his voice will still be something that he'll go home and treat with whatever concoction he thinks is appropriate. You can send him an email and tell him what you think he should use for laryngitis, peter@peterbcollins.com. You can also write to me, Larry Bensky, and tell me if anything's on your mind that you wanted to say to me and didn't get through today to say, peter@peterbcollins.com, and I'm sure he'll forward it to me. Our phone number here, toll-free from wherever you may be, is 888-573-8372, 888-573-8372, and we'd like to hear from you, especially about the question of the extension of United States military activity into Iran, which is something that is being widely discussed and has been for the last year and a half, but is now before the Senate of the United States in the form of the Lieberman-Kyle Amendment. and we talked about that a little bit earlier. I know a lot of you out there are activists and are concerned with social activism and improving the planet, and I'd like to recommend to you to take a look at a column by somebody whom I don't often recommend, by David Brooks, who's the conservative resident op-ed columnist in the New York Times today, and you can find that, of course, online at newyorktimes.com. It's called The Center Holds. And what he's basically saying is, neener, 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 Hillary Clinton's going to be the nominee. The heck with all you Barack Obama people or John Edwards. It's all part of the blogosphere. You live in a delusional world. And you basically better just get with the program, because the Netroots is just a bunch of self-righteous bullies. Now, I'm not recommending this because I think he's right. But I'm recommending this because I think it's something we need to think about. Why is it that somebody like Hillary Clinton seems a lock on the nomination? Is the system so corrupt, and are the Clintons such good players of the levers of power, that it can't be broken into the system, and that someone with even moderately different ideas or a moderately different approach, such as Barack Obama or John Edwards, can't get through? Again, that's David Brooks in the New York Times today. We are going to go now to Andy, who's calling us from Rockland.
Yes.
Hi, Andy. What's up?
Well, I just wanted to share my thoughts on our prospective involvement in Iran.
Yes.
I understand it's being debated right now as we speak.
Right.
In the UN General Assembly. Well, you know, a couple of callers ago, we had been deliberating on different scenarios. I mean, why did the U.S. not do a preemptive strike, you know, in on China or on during the Cold War on the Soviet Union, the erstwhile Soviet Union, all that kind of thing, you know. I mean, there's no end to all this. But the reason which I know and which is in everybody's lips pretty much, I mean, the reason for this war was oil, okay? We did not win our objective of getting oil, or what this present administration wanted to do. And basically, that's why we're probably clamoring for a bigger involvement getting into Iran. But then, as you very rightly pointed out, I mean, that could lead to mutually assured destruction. I mean, if Iran had to send one of their missiles into Israel, and, you know, that could bring the entire Judeo-Christian community involved, because Israel is not just a democratic country. It's just not another country out there. The reason why we are so close to Israel is because it represents the Nazareth. Jerusalem is the Bethlehem. It is the birthplace of Jesus. I mean, for Christ's sake, I mean, it is.
Well, but also 20 or 25% of the population of Israel is Arab, Muslim, Palestinian.
Yeah.
So you can't send a bomb or a missile from Iran
and say
that it kills only Jews.
But this mad guy, I mean, this Ahmadinejad, I mean, he has assured us of terrible consequences and of loss of life. So, I mean, we are already concerned about the loss of life of our troops out there in Iraq by having a broader conflict. And I don't know how long the war is going to continue. I mean, do they want to have a third world war or something?
Because, well, President Bush says that Korea is the model and that the United States is still going to be involved in on-the-ground military activities in 20 years in Iraq. We'll see if he's right or not, those of us who live another 20 years, and I hope we all will. Let's go to Peter now, who is calling from. Where are you calling from, Peter?
Salinas.
Hi, what's on your mind?
I would like to comment on the president of Columbia University. I thought his introduction of Ahmadinejad was a bit uncivilized. I thought actually it was kind of a cheap shot. It would seem to me if you invite somebody to speak, you don't want to introduce them as a punitive tyrant.
Who do you think the president of Columbia University's constituency is?
Well, that's in a Machiavellian sense, that seems sad to me that he had to do the work of some money-financed alumni behind the scenes.
You got it exactly right. What do presidents of universities spend 90 to 95% of their time doing?
On their knees begging for money?
Exactly.
Well, I just wanted to comment. I didn't I found it, you know, here's our big opportunity to show the world how gracious we are, how civilized we are. And we got Sean Hannity making the introduction. And again, thank you for filling in for Peter B. Collins. He is our drive time gem, and thank you, Larry, for filling in.
All right. Thank you for calling, Peter. And I tend to agree with Peter. I thought that it was, you know, if you're going to invite somebody to speak, you've already made a statement that you think that person is worth hearing. You don't get two bites of the apple. If the president of Columbia University wanted to give a speech about Iran and Iran's president and Iran society or anything else, he has plenty of opportunity to do so. I'm sure he could get himself invited to the Council on Foreign Relations. He could certainly convene a campus-wide forum. He could find plenty of venues to do that. But to, on the one hand, invite the guy, and then on the other hand, insult him, which is what he did. And there's plenty of things about Ahmadinejad that are obviously irrational, silly, foolish, and stupid, the things he says. But nevertheless, if you've invited such a person, it means that you've invited him, warts and all, to your institution. And it, as far as I'm concerned, incumbent upon you to treat that person as a guest. And by the way, in the coverage I've seen today from non-Western sources, that point has been made over and over again, how uncivilized the civil society of the United States can be when it wants to. Thank you all very much for your participation and your ears today. It's always a privilege and a pleasure to be on the radio. I'm Larry Bensky, sitting in for Peter B. Collins. I want to thank our producer, Katrin Rill, and our assistant, Katrina Rill, rather, and our assistant producer, Brian Urban, and Peter B. Collins himself, who's at the controls today, healing his voice. He will be back with you tomorrow. Thanks for joining us.
Keep smiling until then.
If you own a classic car, or you've been looking for a special classic, Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles. Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services, from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast. Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
The yeas are 265. The nays are 159.
Speaker Nancy Pelosi, minutes ago, as the House approved a Democratic bill that would add $35 billion to the S-CHIP health insurance program for kids. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
The House easily passed the popular measure to expand children's health care, but lacked the votes to override a promised veto. Texas Democrat Lloyd Doggett condemned President Bush for his plan to stop the bill that would insure millions more kids by raising cigarette taxes.
Now in alliance with the nicotine peddlers opposing this bill, once again, President Bush's greatest concern is that too many children will get insurance coverage.
The program expires this weekend, and so Congress will have to pass a stopgap measure to keep it going while they continue to fight with the president over expanding it. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The National Association of Realtors says home sales fell in August for the sixth straight month.
I suspect this is not over, and we're going to see further declines.
Economist Robert Schiller agrees with Alan Greenspan, who told CBS News today he thinks home prices will fall significantly because so many new houses are unsold. Warren Jeffs, the leader of a polygamous community along the Utah-Arizona border, was convicted today in St. George, Utah, of being an accomplice to rape. He arranged the marriage of a 14-year-old girl to her 19-year-old cousin. The victim, now 21, says the verdict sends a message to others in the situation she was in.
You do not have to surrender your rights or your spiritual sovereignty. I know how hard it is, but please stand up and fight.
CBS News Chief Legal Analyst Andrew Cohen followed the trial.
Jurors clearly believe the young woman and not her former husband, both of whom testified in court about the nature of their marriage, and that probably means that jurors in the end believe that Jeff's brought the two young people together for a very bad purpose.
Jeffs could get life in prison. He's still facing similar charges in Arizona and a federal charge of unlawful flight to avoid prosecution. When Jeffs was arrested near Las Vegas last year, he was driving a red Cadillac Escalade and carrying $57,000 cash. Dozens of planes were grounded for several hours this afternoon by a problem at the Regional Air Traffic Control Center in Memphis. CBS News correspondent